to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can
you listen? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My goodness gracious, this is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get to me. Oh, Lord, what do we talk about? What do we talk about? I want to talk about North Korea. That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about North Korea. Now help me with this. Help me with this. I'm hearing words and you know, this is the African in me. Okay? This is the African in me. I am quite familiar with these types of feelings. I'm quite familiar with these kinds of attitudes. I am familiarized, if you will. But when I hear words like words that sing to me, that impress upon me a paternalistic attitude, and how dare they attitude, this is problematic, they are overstepping the bounds, this is not acceptable, to who? I'm hearing people saying things like, North Korea, this is a provocative act. Can I just ask you a question? Just 'cause. We are a nation that preemptively struck a nation that hasn't done anything to us. We have killed tens of thousands of Iraqi people on this great adventure, instigated by the D student former cheerleader. So what if it's provocative to shoot missiles up in the air and they fall in the ocean? It's provocative to shoot missiles in the air and they fall on the launch pad? Kiss my grits. We are a nation that against international law, to the tune of international condemnation, We preemptively struck a sovereign nation who didn't do jack to us, who's never done jack to us. And in the worst case scenario, they tried to kill some man's daddy who you don't even know. We're allowed to do that? Fine. If those are the rules, fine. Tell me why another country can't shoot up some missiles. Tell me why. So it is galling. It's double galling that Condoleezza Rice wants to shake a moral finger in the face of the North Korea. Ain't that something? I've seen the tabloids. She wants to shake a moral finger in the face of somebody. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? What happened in North Korea was a fireworks show. Oh, but they got us good. They got us good. On 4th of July, happy 4th, baby. We gonna shoot up some missiles just like y'all are shooting up stuff in the eye, in the air. Ain't that some stuff? And this is what the people of Japan call their prime minister. He's a lapdog for George Bush. So when you hear Japan out there clowning about it, I got to ask the question of where the Japanese people stand on this. Because the lapdog of George Bush, the one who, feel this, George Bush and the Prime Minister of Japan visited Graceland, okay? Talking about the place where Elvis Presley came from. Now understand this, feel this, I want you to understand, because it is his birthday today, I want you to understand the manner of man that is running this country. George Bush visited Graceland, right? The same man who refused to visit the Taj Mahal because that didn't hold any interest for him. But he went to Graceland. How you like him now? How you like him now? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else, where else, where else? You're going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, big-screen televisions. How about a treadmill? How about a lawnmower? How about some tools? How about a high-end refrigerator, high-end stove? All of that at Sears and so much more. And you know what? You're going to get these wonderful, special little deals that you can't get any other place. Look, gas, oh, Jesus, the gas up to $15,000 a gallon. You know what? You don't have to fill your tank up to get to the mall. Get to the Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. And when you go there, when you get there, when you do your shop, tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Donna Gamash.
And this is Sabrina Underwood.
Join us for Women Inspiring Women every weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. Every day, Sabrina and I will bring you amazing women who will motivate, inspire, educate, and entertain you.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, we'll share stories of women like you who had a professional or personal dream and dared to make it happen.
So join me, Donna Gamash,
and me, Sabrina Underwood,
for Women Inspiring Women, every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without me.
Oh, Lord. Turn on the television. I'm watching Martin Luther King. Who has
Love that song. Keep your head up, baby. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Okay. I get it. Why are they making such a big deal about this North Korean fireworks show? Come on. Front page of the New York Times. What is today? Today's July the 6th, right? Front page of the New York Times today. Oil prices up after the fireworks show over there over North Korea. Oil prices up. You know what? We are being played so profanely. We are being played so profanely. Oil prices close at a record high as political tensions over the missile test by North Korea shook equity and commodity markets around the world. Shut up. You wanted a reason, you needed a reason to justify raising the oil prices to profane levels. Honestly, you can stand at the corner by any gas station and you can just read the lips of people as they drive into the station and they're all cussing. And those that aren't cussing are praying that they have enough money to halfway fill up their tank. How can you put $50 in your tank and not own a tanker? And you not still be filled? How can you do that? How can you put $50 in your tank and your tank still not be filled? They are tying this North Korea thing to oil prices. Shut up. You're on the wake up call.
Well, good morning, Miss Brown. How are you this beautiful day?
I am outstanding.
So much going on.
I'm telling you.
Like I said, a nation of people, and you can do whatever you want to them. That's the first thing you got to do. You got to scare them.
Mm.
Once you get them scared and running, you got it. You don't have to worry about it.
Mm.
You know, I heard George Bush said last night that it would be nice if other countries would join him in this battle with North Korea. Did I hear him say that?
You know what?
He's not the type of person that wait on other countries to go jump
fact.
In and do what he wants.
Fact. So, you know what? My favorite line from the movie Elf. You know what? No. No.
I mean, when is America going to get sick of this man? When? What time? When?
Mm.
When the time run out in office?
Mm.
They're not going to wake up in time.
Mm. All right.
3 years from now, people, you haven't saw nothing yet.
All right.
And
now,
you know, you speak of Graceland. You know, dope fiends fit in with dope fiends.
Ouch.
And you know they made Graceland a historic site now.
Yeah.
So he gets federal dollars to run his little episode down in Memphis.
All right.
It's amazing, ain't it?
All right now. Take care.
Have a beautiful day.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I see some of the papers put out the fact that South Korea is upset about the missiles that North Korea shot off. But
mm-hmm.
I think the South Korean people are not upset. And they try to say that they're unfriendly, but I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but whenever they have the Olympics in the opening ceremony, when North and South Korea come out, they come out together, hand in hand, holding hands. So I think the North and South Korean people are very friendly, And I don't think there's much to do about those missiles being shot off. And one other thing, I'd like to go across the border to Mexico. They're having an election, and it's been rumored that Obrador is in the lead. And they were so afraid of him that they had outlawed polls because all the polls were showing that Obrador was way ahead of his opponent. Thank you very much.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. I'm looking at this story. It is North Korea has a right. North Korea has a right. North Korea has a right. And if we were looking at what happened realistically, everything that they tried to do failed. So help me with how am I supposed to be concerned about that? And then you open up the paper of the USA Today and you see launches do diplomatic damage, and they have pictures of all of these missiles and how far they can go, up to 806 miles, about 9,000 miles. Well, don't you first have to get it off the launching pad before it can set on the track of a 9,000-mile journey? Well, you think we're stupid? Yes. Yes. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. North Korea it was a failure. The missile launching was a failure. Why are we hearing this kind of howling? It failed. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. I am sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I take it back. I have been unfair to Boy George on his birthday. I have been unfair to him. Because to an administration that considers it success in Iraq, and there was no discovery of, there's no finding of, no location of weapons of mass destruction, and we're still obtaining success in Iraq, I guess a failed missile launching would be a triple success, a quadruple success. I guess, you know what, I guess I understand why they're losing their minds over this. Because they lost their minds over never finding any, lying about weapons of mass destruction. So I guess that they would totally go ballistic, get it? Ballistic over a dismal failure of a miss. You can't even really call this a launching. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. We're not done. I ain't done. Hold on.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello, my name is Henry Wanafo. I'm running for state representative in the 71st District. On August 8, 2006, I need your support. Here's Major Harris to tell you the kind of person I am.
My name is Major Harris at Hair Commanders. As my client came in the salon, I asked different ones about him. Some he had worked with, I think, as a teacher. They was telling me how he tried to help everyone. Then he worked, I think, as the welfare officer. One lady had worked with him there. And they said that he always was trying to help someone. I would support him.
This ad was paid for citizens to elect Henry Wanafo, state representative.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Regions Bank. Northbound 270 at 44, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and 79, look for slow traffic out there. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way to 170 looks good. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 to the Canal Bridge is on the move. Northbound Route 3 into the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split. And westbound Kingbridge traffic all the way into Laclede's Landing. You can expect no delays. Westbound East Bridge traffic is flowing freely into downtown. And eastbound 70 at Goodfellow and West Florissant, there's still road construction there, so use some caution. And Illinois 157 and 64 is closed due to construction. Motorists can use the marked detour. Westbound 40 on the Grand to look for it, close to the reconstruction. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Regions Bank. Is your money not working hard enough for you? A better rate on your money market account from Regions Bank with our relationship money market. Stop by any branch or call 1-800-REGIONS to find out how your money can work harder for you. Regions Bank, member FDIC. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Sunny, mid-80s today. This evening clear with a low in the lower 60. Friday, mostly sunny, mid-80s again. And Saturday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s. Currently, we have 65 degrees under mostly clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night, for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour. Let's get busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Number, baby. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Well, Miss Brown, the truth will set you free. Miss Brown, I want to know, do you think Condoleezza Rice and George Bush and the whole gang ought to go over there and have a cup of coffee with that man in North Korea and tell him what they think? And also, do you think he's going to Kenny Lay's funeral?
That's going to be very interesting to see if Boy George goes to Kenny Boy's funeral. That's going to be very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see that, Miss Brown. But, Miss Brown, I'm calling you about, I want to commend the Third Ward for recalling Freeman Bosley Sr. As I saw on the television, Mr. Brown, the woman told Freeman, you sold us out, Freeman. Yes, you sold us out. She had an eminent domain shirt. Freeman told her, all I wanted some houses in this ward. Well, Freeman, what'd you think about all that, what you did those people in that third ward? You should have asked Tom Bauer. Got some advice from him, Freeman. And by the way, Freeman, if you're listening, you need to come over on Saturdays with Miss Brown and she'll teach you to do the right thing, Freeman. But like I said, what goes around comes around. You were the one also, Freeman, who had Darnella Clinton hanging on your arm. You and your son, Freeman Bodies Jr., I won't forget that. But like I say, Freeman Bodies Sr., what goes around comes around. And thanks to Third Ward for showing you the door. I hope they get somebody better than what you've been doing to them. Miss Brown, you have a nice day.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding.
You are a breath of fresh air.
Well, thank you.
Can I change the subject a little bit?
All right.
I seen a picture last week of the Veiled Prophet. Well, Grandpa didn't tell me that was the Veiled Prophet. 40 years ago, he told me it was the Ku Klux Klan. I don't know if you've seen the picture or not.
I have.
What do you think?
Well, I it looks just like the Klan to me.
That's what it looked like to me. And for us to be celebrating the Veiled Prophet on the 4th of July, shouldn't be no people look like me down there.
Well, what is interesting, I think that we really need to talk about the success of the parade, the 4th of July celebration. It's gotten smaller and smaller and smaller ever since Frances Slay's sister has been in charge of it. How do you call it a success? It's interesting. If you listen to any of the after-the-event assessments, we think it was a success. We're trying to get people to appreciate what's going on in downtown. Well, help me with some numbers, because usually numbers help define what success is. Did anybody say how many people went down to the parade or anything like that? No, they did not, because it was a failure.
And they didn't have they usually have the pictures splashed all over.
Yes, they do.
And I haven't seen any of this.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
And one other thing, Miss Brown, what do you think the deal is with Ken Lace?
I don't know. I don't know. I do know he is the oldest looking 64-year-old that I've ever seen. He looks like he's 150 years old. I understand, but I don't know. That maybe they killed him.
Or is he gone underground?
Oh.
He definitely has enough money.
He's like, Elvis, he's not dead? All right. Hadn't thought of that one. Maybe he's not dead. Thank you.
Have a good day.
1-877-920-WD. Tupac, Elvis, and Kenny Boy. Man, oh, man. You know what? And if anybody can afford to fake their death, I would say that a man that has all the money that Ken Lay has could do it. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I don't know. But it irritates me how they try to clean up everybody. What was the phrase yesterday when I was supposed to be on vacation looking at the news? What was the phrase that we saw most of yesterday about Kenny Boy's mysterious, questionable death? In the end, his heart just gave out. Well, heck, in the end, all of our hearts give out. You know, what you trying to say? In the end, his heart just gave out. Maybe if you stopped lying and stealing, your heart would have lasted a little bit longer. Ain't that some stuff? That's the epithet that he gets. In the end, his poor little heart gave out. Ain't that some stuff? Andre.
You know you're right. And what, he died of a broken heart?
Yeah!
And the rest of us supposed to cry ourselves to death. Oh, please. I couldn't care less about this crook. He, you know what? When you put out evil, you should never be surprised when evil comes back to you.
Now, there is such a thing as karma. There is such a thing as just getting back what you put out.
The older I get, the more I see of life and the living of it, the more convinced I am of that. You're absolutely right.
You know, and the other piece of it, though, is I do appreciate the questions of how did he die?
That I want to know about. Because, you know, the first thing I thought about, like the other caller, the first thing I thought about when I saw it pop up online was, do you remember a few years ago when, I can't remember his name, the guy, he was from St. Louis, the former CIA head who went into the hospital for an operation, and it was in the middle of some scandal, he suddenly comes down with a bad case of death.
Well, you know, if they made that big of a deal about who was the guy with Hillary Clinton, and the guy that died with Hillary, the guy that died with...
Oh, yeah, Vince Foster.
Vince Foster, that's who I was, Vince Foster, yeah. So they made a big deal about that. Well, shouldn't we be attaching Kenny Boy's mysterious death to Boy George?
Yes, we should. They went round and round in circles over Vince Foster. It was suicide. No, it wasn't suicide. He was murdered. No, he wasn't. It was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They went round and round.
Mm-hmm.
With that one. So what,
and also remember that one of the people, there was another investor that they found dead in his car in Texas. I can't remember his name either, but one of these Enron types of guys. No, one of the guys that told on one of these Enron, WorldCom Enron guys. They found him dead in his car, too. I don't know.
I think it's very convenient. And we, of course, have a different way of looking at the world given our history. But like somebody said, just because you're paranoid don't mean they ain't really out to get you.
All right, now, thanks for your call.
Like Stokely said, if you ain't paranoid and you're black in this country, you're crazy.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mary.
I hope you had a nice vacation.
I had a fabulous vacation.
Liz, I was thinking the same thing yesterday. I'm saying, before they repeat his last testimony, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, I'm hoping some chemist would come there and check his DNA to make sure it's him going in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could switch and send him to another country and he live a happy ending for him, because it's not necessary that he's either dead or if he is something
he
might be going on.
I never thought he was going to jail.
Mm-hmm. So he could check his DNA just before they put the dirt on him.
Mm.
That's not what I called you about. It's very upsetting to me, Liz, to constantly hear how they're trying to do Barry Bond. I guess you've been keeping up with it. And we know that Rush Limbaugh has did everything. The last episode they had on Rush Limbaugh, they were saying that he had some prescription with someone else's name on it. I know you know about that as well, right, Liz?
I talked about that, yes, Mary.
I didn't hear it. But I'm just saying that the latest thing I was reading about what they're trying to do to Barry Bonds, and so many of those athletes has been accused or of using those steroids, and they still trying to charge him for it. The more powerful he get and the more hit home runs he get, the more they pick on him.
All right.
You have a good day.
Take care of yourself. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone.
Liz. This is Will. I thought about that Ken Lay thing, but I approached it from a different angle. I thought it was kind of suspicious myself, the timeliness of it. But I was looking at it as far as I thought maybe it may have been one of his relatives that offed him. You know, they do have certain chemicals that they can introduce to the body that will cause a heart attack.
Absolutely.
I thought maybe his relatives figured part of his sentences was going to be that he had to give up a lot of money. And they was like, okay, well, we've got all this money now. It's time for you to go. That's the way I was looking at it.
You know what? The suspects are many. The suspects are many.
And another thing I wanted to ask you, did you ever get a chance to check out that movie Annapolis?
Mm-mm, no.
That was the one with Tyrese. It kind of put you in the mind from the advertisement of an officer and a gentleman, but it had Tyrese and I believe there's one young actor that played Peter Parker's best friend in the Spider-Man movies was the main character. And I watched it, and you know how we have to watch these movies with a critical eye. And
okay,
I
quickly, please. Okay,
the portrayals of the black people in those movies. I mean, it was two main characters. One was incompetent, and the other one, Tyrese, they gave almost an animalistic tinge to it, because there was even a part in the boxing match where he hit this one guy, and he turns around, and he's got this, like, you know, sneer on his face. But you actually hear a animal growl in the back. It's like they mixed it into the soundtrack.
Okay,
something.
I got to roll. Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Caracas. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez is urging nations in Africa to work with Latin America in fighting off American imperialism. Chavez has called on the African Union to partner with Latin America on issues ranging from oil production to education in order to stop America from meddling in the affairs of developing countries. Chavez says Africa has an abundance of natural resources and has the potential to become a world power in this century if it can remain free from outside exploitation. And Dateline Vienna. Sources in Austria say that President Bush took extreme security measures on his most recent visit to Vienna. The Secret Service took along a special portable toilet for him to use because of security concerns. Even more bizarre, the president's bodily secretions were placed in a container and taken back to the United States for fear of some foreign spy checking them to see if he had any health problems. Even the toilet paper he used was brought in from an American Air Force base in Germany, and his food was flown in from the United States and chemically tested before he was allowed to consume it. The CIA is reported to have collected bodily waste from Russian President Mikhail Gorbachev when he came to Washington in 1987 by installing a special trap in a White House toilet. The Israeli Mossad is also reported to have placed a special toilet in a hotel room where Syrian President Hafez Assad stayed in Jordan back in 1999 to collect specimens from his waste and was actually able to determine that he had diabetes. This is your wake-up call, global news update. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huzz. Join me Thursday nights after the 7 o'clock news right here on Radio 920 as we circle the bases. Join my roundtable guests and myself as we talk about what's happening in the world of sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Yeah, we'll even talk a little NASCAR, and yeah, we'll even talk a little poker. We'll circle the bases. That's what the show's all about. 7:05 Thursday night, right here on Radio 920.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
Yes.
Seven Signs Masonry. 618-338-2871. Tuck pointing, all brickwork, whether it's your chimney, mailbox, flower beds, barbecue pits, all your masonry needs. The best hands in the business, Seven Signs. 618-338-2871. Don't forget, always check your decks.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Love makes me treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing too good for a boy, that's so true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. Barbara.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. You have a good vacation?
I had a great vacation.
I missed you.
Thank you.
Listen, I was just wondering to remind everybody that, remember, Ken Lay was only charged with maybe 10% of his crimes, and that was the stock part of it. But the bigger issue was his part in the energy meetings that the vice president held, his relationship to the donations and the funding for the campaign for all the Republicans, that all that money that flowed into the Republican coffers because of him. And also, he said after he was accused that he was going to appeal and that he would be cleared eventually. So for him to get gone right now would keep the rest of those issues that were illegal buried forever. So I tend to agree with some of the callers that said, you know, it's easy. I watch Alistair Crane. He put a dead man up there, a man half dead, and had plastic surgery put on his face, and he moved to Rome. And this is a soap opera, but maybe mm-hmm. they got that idea. You know, he's got somebody else's face with his face. Cosmetics can do anything now, you know?
Okay. Surgery. I mean, who knows? We live in a time where there are so many more possibilities, you know, than generations before us. So, yeah, it's possible.
It's all possible.
All right. Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Front page of USA Today's money section. As sudden and as unexpected as Lay's death was, government prosecutors were studying the possibility that legal precedent might require his conviction erased. Under that scenario, the government could not collect the $44 million it demanded he forfeit in a court filing last week. 1-877-920-WGNU. Where is Kenny Boy Lay from? Oh, yeah. The Ozarks. Huh. You're on the wake-up call? Car phone.
Liz Brown.
Fell on the car phone.
Did you happen to catch Tony Snow's comments about Ken Lay?
What did he say about Kenny Boy?
The reporter was asking since they were friends, George and Ken Lay, what was the president's comments? And Tony Snow shot in there, well, no, he's not a friend. He's an acquaintance.
Shut up. Didn't take him long to figure out what lies to tell and what ones not to tell, did it?
Hurry up and put that in. They weren't friends. They were acquaintances.
They were acquaintances. Kenny Boy Lay. I've read the notes. I've seen the head. They were acquaintances.
Yep.
Ain't that some stuff? Have you noticed something, though? Have you noticed something? How many times has Boy George been out to his, what is it, in Midland, Texas? How many times has he been to Midland, Texas lately?
Oh, hey.
He hadn't been there at all.
Been there much at all.
He hadn't been there since baby girl shut him down.
Uh-huh.
So he hasn't had a vacation in a good long while now.
Now, did this man actually have heart disease? Had you ever heard anything about Ken Lay having heart disease? Plus, he had a heart attack before?
I could have missed that. I don't recall it, but it's not something necessary that I would have held on to. So I don't know. I don't remember anything like that, but I don't think that that's something I would have paid much attention to if I was reading.
I think with all the charities done over the years, I'm surprised that he didn't fall out earlier.
Thanks.
It's sad, you know.
All right. Thanks for your call. All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. Within an hour of news reports that Ken Lay had died of apparent heart attack, conspiracy theories flooded the Internet, weblogs suggesting that he had faked his death, committed suicide, or been murdered, something like out of the Da Vinci Code. News events, we've always had conspiracy thoughts out there. But here's what this one article says. Here are a couple of storylines that can be drawn from reading a compilation of blog speculation. A millionaire is convicted of a white-collar crime and faces life in prison. He fakes his death, bribes a coroner with millions that he has stolen, or he finds a poor look-alike and kills him. And, of course, the story ends up with an escape by a private jet to an island in the rugged landscape of Pakistan. One blogger wrote, "We need to see the body for sure." Another blogger suggested that Jeff Skilling had hired a food tester. Whoo! Wednesday, Rob Kurtzman, a forensic pathologist who did the autopsy on Lay, ruled that he died of coronary artery disease. I don't know. I don't know. How do we know that was him? How do we know that was him? One eight seven seven 920 WGNU. And I love this headline. He's a convicted, right? He was convicted, right? He wasn't set for trial. He was convicted. And here's what the headline is. From Lay's pastor. He did not bear the jury any ill will. You know what? That's not humanly possible. If you say that you're innocent and a jury finds you guilty, you don't have any ill will towards the jury? You expect me to buy that? The very least you say they were idiots. The very least you say that I can't believe that they did, because didn't Ken Lay testify? So the jury said, we don't believe you. Because a lot of times in cases, defendants don't testify, so the jury never gets to hear their voice. Ken Lay testified. And after listening to him testify, the jury said, we don't believe you. And the headline contains this lie. Lay's pastor, he did not bear the jury any ill will. Shut up. Shut up. 1-877-920-WGNU. Lay had coronary heart disease according to the autopsy results announced yesterday. That's what Scott Thompson, the chief deputy coroner in Pickens County, said. He died of natural causes. According to the statement from the Pickens County Sheriff's Office, Lay was taken from his Aspen, Colorado home by ambulance, where he was pronounced dead at 3:11 on Wednesday. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Liz.
Earlene.
This is Earlene.
Yes, good morning.
Now, you lost your edge with former PD. As soon as I heard that this man was supposedly dead, first thing I thought, he ain't dead. This man has too much money. And isn't it interesting, a convicted felon of all those charges was on vacation.
That's fact.
They said he was on vacation at his mountain retreat or what have you. But they just did an update on one of the local channels stating that, well, since he's dead, the government is effectively saying that that avoids the guilty verdict. Therefore, they will not be going after his estate. Now, about an hour ago on the ABC overnight, they were saying that they were going to look into trying to get the fines and extract the penalties from his estate. Within an hour, they've now changed it. Also, interesting how somehow white men can do no wrong. He went to Mizzou, and I didn't know that until I just heard earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He got his bachelor's and graduate degree down at Columbia.
That's correct.
They were taping, and you heard the president saying, and not the black guy, but I don't know who this person was, it was a white person, saying that he was a good friend of the university. He had given, you know, millions of dollars, and then the local news came back and said he had devoted or donated $1 million to endow a chair in the Department of Economics. However, the chair had never been filled. Then they said after he made the donation, Lay asked Mizzou for the money back.
Oh, yeah, that made the news. I talked about that.
Yeah, but they told him no.
When
they gave the same story an hour later, they kind of sort of forgot to mention the part about he asked for the money, just the fact that he was a great... I mean, so already the spin is happening.
Already.
The
revisionist history has begun. It's not spin, it's revisionist history.
He's somewhere being completely redone from head to toe, plastic surgery from head to toe. I bet they're going to claim that they cremated the body. This man will go off and be living somewhere else. I don't think we'll believe this man is dead.
All right now. Thanks for
your
call. We're going to take a break, folks. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back. Stay with me.
If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound. That's the below.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother. truth is that not everyone...
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. North Korea is vowing to keep testing its missiles, including long-range ones, which could reach the U.S. And Undersecretary of State Nicholas Burns says, well, that's just too bad.
This kind of behavior is provocative and it's irresponsible. And the world doesn't want to see a country that claims to have nuclear weapons establish an ability to launch an intercontinental ballistic missile.
He says the world community, including the UN Security Council, will act decisively in the coming days and that Pyongyang's actions will backfire. Another busy day for the Discovery crew. The astronauts will dock with the International Space Station today. And by the way, there's little worry about what might have happened to Discovery during launch.
NASA engineers say there were at least five instances where foam did fly off the external fuel tank, but they posed no threat. At first glance, NASA officials said the shuttle looked clean. Clean except for white splotches under one wing, a problem any car owner can identify with.
That's ABC's John Berman at the Kennedy Space Center. There's another shift in the lead in the Mexican presidential election. The conservative candidate has the slightest of leads over his leftist opponent. Neither man will concede. Happy birthday, Mr. President.
What would some Americans like to gift wrap for the president's birthday?
He probably needs a trip to New Orleans.
I would buy a motorcycle and go riding with him.
I'd like to give George Bush a one-way ticket to Crawford for his birthday.
I'd change the law so he could run for president again.
Some common sense.
Get him a dictionary.
Probably some foreign policy advice.
I would just give him lots of prayers.
The late President Kennedy got an unforgettable serenade.
Happy birthday, Mr. President.
President Bush is more of a country fan. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
The president is 60 years old today. Big cleanup underway in the Washington, D.C. area, one of the places hit hardest in last week's flooding. There are a lot of downed trees. This is ABC News.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
The last time you replaced your ink cartridge? Then come in to Office Depot. Office Depot has over 400 ink and toner items in stock. Plus, save up to 15% on HP multi-packs versus single packs. Or save up to 15% on Office Depot brand ink versus the national brand. Office Depot never runs out of ink. Neither should you.
The Emmy nominations will be announced in about a half an hour.
Good deal. Thank you very much, sir. You're a gentleman
NBC's
and a scholar.
NBC's The Office could get a nod for Best Comedy. ABC's Lost, Desperate Housewives, and Grey's Anatomy are all expected to be nominated. The awards will be handed out next month. Well, this man may have been fired on TV's The Apprentice, but the Donald apparently had other plans for him. Here's ABC's Dave Shriver.
Donald Trump calls Andy Latinsky, a Harvard graduate, a talented guy. He says he will be terrific running Trump's Hollywood production company. As of now, the new Trump company does not have a name. Donald Trump says one of the first projects to come from his new production company will probably be a TV show based on the board game Monopoly. Trump says people at the major networks are interested in the idea. He owns several casinos in Atlantic City, New Jersey, the original setting for the board game. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
And I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, authorities are investigating a drowning at a North County lake. 50-year-old Anthony Bonner apparently jumped into the lake while fishing at January Wabash Park in Ferguson yesterday afternoon. Rescuers pulled the man from the water, but he was pronounced dead at a hospital. The Missouri Highway Patrol reports 8 deaths on the state's highways over the July 4th holiday. That's up from 7 fatalities in the same period last year. Two crashes claimed the lives of St. Louis area residents. 68-year-old James Thacker of St. Charles died when he struck a concrete barrier on Highway 364 west of Upper Bottom Road on Saturday. 22-year-old Herbert Sayers of Wildwood died Sunday when he missed a curve on Highway 185 in Washington County. Missourians will soon be buying gas meant to help the environment. Missouri Governor Matt Blunt signed legislation yesterday requiring gas sold in Missouri to contain 10% ethanol by January 1, 2008. Blunt says the new standard will help clean up our air.
And it reduces carbon monoxide emissions, it reduces carbon dioxide emissions, reduces by 50% particulate matter in the exhaust, reduces carcinogens that are sent out into the atmosphere. So it's good for the environment. It will not just sustain, it will actually improve the air quality for Missourians.
Blunt says Missouri farmers will benefit as a result of the increased ethanol production, and so will consumers who should see price reductions at the pump. The bill lifts the 10% standard when ethanol is more expensive than petroleum-based gasoline. Premium-grade fuels will be exempt from the 10% standard. Finally this hour, teaching teachers and parents how to build character in kids will be the focus of an education conference next week in St. Louis. Liz Gibbons, the director of Character Plus, says promoting responsibility, respect, honesty, and self-discipline will help improve test scores and grades. The 12th Annual Character Plus Character Education Conference will be held July 13th through the 15th at the Hyatt Regency at Union Station. For more information, visit www.characterplus.org. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Granite Works Kitchen Sale. Now everyone can afford granite. 2-centimeter granite countertops with backsplash and stainless steel sink for less than $1,600 installed. Certain limitations apply. Call 862-6300. That's 862-6300. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Jeep dealer. Eastbound 40 between Long Road and Timberlake. Look for no problems reported. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79. Expect normal traffic. Westbound 270 at 367 and 170 looks good. Eastbound 44 at Chrysler and 270 is on the move. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 and the Canal Bridge. No problems there. Northbound 270 at 55 and 44 looks good. Eastbound 44 at 109. No problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Gravel Pit looks good all the way into downtown. Westbound Eads Bridge is free this hour, and westbound 5570 at 64, look for across the Poplar Street Bridge, look for traffic to be building this hour. And northbound Route 3 onto Poplar Street Bridge, expect some delays onto the ramp, onto the bridge. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Jeep dealer. With Jeep experience, the best in American and German engineering and design. Get employee pricing plus 0% APR financing on well-qualified buyers on most Jeep vehicles. Go to AskDrZ.com for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, look forward to sunny skies, high in the mid-80s. This evening, clear with a low in the lower 60s. Moving on to Friday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s, and Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 63 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 64. Stay tuned now. It's time for more of the award-winning Wake-Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, talk to my sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, talk to my sister.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg. give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound at the below, that's the low name.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how this
man. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Loo. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Eye on the Loo. This is Liz Brown, and I am here, as always, with Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and your listening audience.
This morning, I guess we need to start with a story that isn't appearing anywhere other than apparently on our show here. There's a big deal that happened, isn't there?
Yeah, I think it's a big deal. Last week, the committee to recall Alderman Bosley turned in over 2,000 signatures.
Mm-hmm. And that 2,000 signatures out of that ward is an amazing thing.
It's a very, very amazing thing. I think they need something like 1,439 signatures, or something close to that, mm-hmm. to actually have the petition certified so that they could, in fact, have an election for the recall. They turned in the signatures last week, just a little bit in the papers, mm-hmm. you know, maybe on the internet, but other than that, nothing.
And this is a huge, huge story, and it kind of speaks to the issues that you and I have discussed on this show about the type of news we get and the reasons why we get a certain type of news. Alderman Bosley is not just a he just got elected type of an alder person.
No, he's not. I think he has the, I want to say the third highest seniority on the Board of Aldermen.
And we
he's been there over 20-something years.
And we also have to speak to the fact that not only is he an alderman with that kind of seniority, which means that he's been around forever, representing this ward forever. It wasn't like he represented four other wards. This is the ward that he's represented for all that period of time. He's also the father of the City of St. Louis' first black mayor.
That's correct.
And he also is the father of American Idol person. So while that some of the, you know, the daughter piece is more of a celebrity piece, but it also speaks to the notoriety of this individual. So for 2,000 was it 2,000 people?
Over 2,000
people to sign on a petition saying that they want to recall him is a big, big, big deal.
Yes, it is. And then on yesterday there was another press conference held dealing with this issue, mm-hmm. which I'm told, because I fell asleep. It was a blip, you know, just a little beat, a little bit coverage on the news last night about it. And so, you know, that I think it's quite interesting.
And the other piece of it is too, because as I recall, you know what? Maybe we'll put my intern on this issue of finding out what kind of news coverage we got when Tom Bauer's signatures were turned in for a recall. Because we need to do, because I mean there's a story on this. There's a reason for a story for this on many levels. The father of Freeman Bosley, the father of Aloha Bosley, the third most senior alder person, 2,000 signatures out of this particular ward. But also, we have the other story about the ongoing effort to recall
aldermen,
and it is
particularly aldermen who push eminent domain.
Eminent domain. So this is a hugely newsworthy story.
Yes, it is.
And I'm looking in the paper today. Ain't nothing in the paper about it.
I didn't see anything in the paper. And keep in mind, you know, the election last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a very close election for an alderman who had been in office as long as Alderman Bosley. 19 votes
separated him.
Separated him and Jeffrey Harden.
And remember, and also, so we also have to say that not only is this a recall effort, it's right after the election. It's right after the election. So people are very unhappy with Freeman Bosley.
Exactly.
We're going to take a break. This is I on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? That's right. Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, lawnmowers, tools, anything, everything that you need to get your shop on. You need to get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. That's right. Sears, get your shop on. Tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Every Friday afternoon, I interview high-level leaders about leadership issues that matter most. As far as I know, it's the only show of its kind. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, coach, volunteer leader, or the head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that can give you the competitive edge in the marketplace. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and because it's Thursday at this time, we're talking about Eye on the Lou. Irene J. Smith, good morning and welcome back.
Good morning, Liz.
So we're talking about this whole recall piece. And one of the things that we didn't talk about was why this is not in the paper, why this story is not front page, at least of the Metro section. Why isn't this being discussed as a big deal? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, to me, a number of thoughts. First of all, as I indicated, Bosley does have a lot of seniority. He also is tied in fairly closely with the Slay administration, with regret with regard to this Forest Park sale.
Mm-hmm. And talk, explain that connection.
What the connection is this. The mayor has appointed him as a senior alderman to determine, I guess, the feasibility of it and how beneficial it might be for the city to sell the park, of the park.
So seniority aside, Francis Lay could have appointed anybody he wanted to to do this. And I think that it's important for the audience to understand that the Slays and the Bosleys, one would think that they do not have, would not have a close relationship given the fact that Francis Lay beat Freeman Bosley for the mayor's, for the mayor's seat. But I know that they go to football games together, the senior Slay and the junior Slay and the senior Bosley and the junior Bosley. They hang out. And it's my understanding that there are frequent walks that are taken by senior Slay and senior Bosley. There's a very tight relationship with that family, with those two groups of people. And I think it is interesting that to put a black face on this issue of the Forest Park piece, I think that gives Slay some kind of cover in some respects.
Yeah, it does. But also there's a connection because it is my understanding that Alderman Bosley wants to sell a portion of Fairground Park.
And the connection there is the whole idea of selling off parks.
He's
cool with it. And what's interesting about that is that you're seeing all these signs pop up in front of these very, very, very expensive-looking homes saying, save our parks.
Exactly.
So it is
all down Lindo, various other areas in the Central West End. People are saying, you know, save our park is not for sale. Save our park.
And if we can just take a roundabout connection once again, this comes back to the fourth senatorial race in that Francis Slay is backing Jeff Smith. And it's going to, that race is really going to be it's going to be a reflection of whether or not that Francis Slay can deliver any kind of elected official, because Jeff Smith is tightly connected to the man that's in support of vouchers and charter schools, and that's Francis Slay.
That's correct. And if you've had an opportunity to drive through a portion far south, it's interesting. People might think that you would see just flooded with Jeff Smith signs, and that's not the case. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of Gambaro. Dario Gambaro, who is also a candidate in the 4th Senatorial District, a lot of his signs are peppering the area.
And I'm seeing a lot of Gambaro signs, or at least a number of Gambaro signs, in front of the same types of homes that you would expect to see anybody but a black candidate signs in front of. So that's very interesting.
Yes, it is.
It's going to be
interesting. I mean, we've seen a number of them in the Central Quarter as well. You know, we were riding. It was kind of like you would think that you would see the Jeff Smith signs, the blue and white signs, and you're seeing Gambaro signs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. So getting back to the Bosley and the Forest Park piece. So Francis Lay put him on the Forest Park piece.
It's supposed to be, I guess, it's only an advisory committee to look into, I guess, whether or not the city is getting a good deal out of the proposed sale of this, what is it, I forget the actual acreage that BJC wants to purchase, but the land basically that's over the garage, they presently have a lease on that land, but they're trying to purchase that land right now. And so, you know, Bosley was appointed to that committee by the mayor. And as I indicated, he's also, you know, there was an article last year and earlier this year that Bosley is interested in selling a portion of Fairgrounds Park.
And there is a huge issue of eminent domain in Freeman Bosley's ward. Why is that? What are the things that are going on in Bosley's ward that make this another Tom Bauer eminent domain issue?
Well, there's a lot of homes that are being taken for the development, I guess the Bosley Estates development. development and other developments off of Salisbury. And I know that there are some individuals who have been very involved in the statewide eminent domain issue, Maxine Johnson and others. And Ms. Johnson's house was actually impacted.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, last week there was a meeting at Clay School in which, for all practical purposes, Alderman Bosley made a personal assault on Maxine Johnson because, of course, she is a leader in this recall effort because she told the church development group that is based with the church, a church in that ward, that she wanted $200,000. Now, she has six kids, I believe, herself and a husband. And, you know, with the new construction that's going on, the houses that are being sold are, you know, $100,000+, $180,000+. And he basically personally assaulted her.
When you say that, what does that mean?
He acted as if though she was trying to steal from the church. He just went on a personal attack against her,
mm-hmm.
you know. And she is one of the leaders in this effort because her home is being taken. And what many people have said is that Alderman Bosley's home is not far from this redevelopment area.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, if you're taking others' homes in this area, then why isn't your home being blighted
mm-hmm.
and taken? So it's a huge issue. And individuals, not just in the third ward, but they've gotten support from other individuals from other parts of the city. I mean, even people out of Sean Barr's ward who were active in the recall efforts against him. People who are active down in the fifth ward, you know, have also assisted in collecting sick or aiding them, directing them to people who would sign the recall petition.
And what does this say in terms of the power, if there were a power switch in this ward, in the third ward, there's going to be a recall election, and there's nothing to say that he won't survive a recall election. But let's say that Freeman Bosley doesn't survive a recall election. What kind of impact would that have on the power at the Board of Aldermen? What would that do to Slay if Freeman Bosley was no longer there?
Well, Alderman Bosley is the chairman of the Streets Committee,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people would wonder why, you know, with so much seniority, why would someone hold on to the Streets Committee? Well, every development in this city quite often needs a street vacation, that is to close off a street.
Mm-hmm.
That would have to come through the Streets Committee. So if Bosley loses, you know, there's always that possibility, then, of course, that position would be open, and seniority wise, I can't think off the top of my head who would be next in line to obtain that chairmanship. But often Bosley votes with the mayor.
So he would lose an ally. He would lose.
I think he would
lose an ally on the board.
I think he would lose an ally.
And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. How does a recall work? If they turned in enough signatures, now Freeman Bosley Sr. has an opportunity to go back and see if he can get some of those signatures off.
And then they will certify it. And he has, like, I think, 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And once they certify the petition, after those waiting periods pass by, then a recall election will actually be set.
Is it possible that it would be set in the November election, or it's not possible for it to be in the August election? It's too late
for
that.
No, it will not be the August election.
All right, we're going to take a break. This is Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
Again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Hello, my friend. This is Minister Ernest Greenlee inviting you to join me for good gospel music and church news you can use every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12 noon. The Holy Ghost take us to a higher level every week. So join me, Minister Ernest Greenlee, and receive a double portion every Saturday morning at 10:30 here on 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Jeep dealer. Eastbound 40 between Long Road and Timberlake, no problems there. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes, all the way 79, expect normal traffic. Westbound 270 at 367 and 170 looks good. Eastbound 44 from Chrysler all the way to 270 is on the move. Westbound 40 at McCausland and Hanley, no problems there. And westbound 270 at Illinois 3 to Canal Bridge is on the move. Northbound 270 from 55 to 44 looks good at this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, that traffic is building. Westbound Eastbridge is moving steady this hour. Westbound 5570, they've got paving operations. It's reduced to three lanes, and it's back up through 64 this hour. And that is your traffic for this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Jeep dealers. With Jeep experience, the best in American and German engineering and design. Get employee pricing plus 0% APR financing for qualified, well-qualified buyers on most Jeep vehicles. Go to AskDrZ.com for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, sunny skies, high around the mid-80s this evening, clear with a low in the lower 60s. Friday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s. And Saturday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s. Currently, we have mostly clear skies and 64 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 64 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. It's Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
A.
Affordable eye care, $69.75 Olive in University City. Do you need the latest in eyeglasses? How about an eye exam? You get it all at Affordable Eye Care. That's $69.75 Olive. Call for an exam, 721-2698. Don't forget, always check your decks.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Eye on the Lou. This is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm here with, of course, Irene J. Smith. This is Eye on the Lou. Irene, let's switch gears a little bit and move to an issue that you had talked about with me earlier about the issuance of liquor licenses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about that.
Well, it's interesting because, as you know, we've had a lot of liquor licenses that used to be issued in, particularly in North St. Louis. There was a proliferation of liquor licenses. So out of frustration, many of us came up with ways to try to limit the number of liquor licenses without having to fight them one after the other. So what we call moratorium legislation was introduced. I introduced, several other people introduced moratorium legislation. The reason why it's interesting now is because...
Before we go on, what is moratorium?
Moratorium means that no liquor license can be issued within a certain geographical area.
Ever.
There are exceptions.
Okay.
There are some exceptions.
Okay.
Because at one time in North St. Louis, there were areas where we had liquor stores on all four corners,
mm-hmm.
or some type of liquor establishment. So as a result of a lot of studies that came out, information, crime statistics, and a lot of other things, there was a move to put a limitation on liquor licenses that were issued. The first ward had a moratorium, has a liquor moratorium. However, there is a evolving story about a liquor license at a restaurant. It's not a restaurant yet.
Okay.
There is an evolving story mm-hmm. about conflicts about the excise commissioner, who is the one who approves
mm-hmm.
The issuance of liquor license. The license collector actually issues the license.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a situation that came up where a liquor license was approved
mm-hmm.
by the excise commissioner, Mr. Robert Krailberg.
And this is in the first ward.
This is in the first ward.
Okay.
The license collector has not issued the license, has refused to issue it because it is said that it did not comply with the ordinance. So it's very interesting. A substitute moratorium bill was passed in the first ward.
Passed
by Alderman Troop.
Okay.
Okay.
And introduced by...
passed by... It's real interesting because his legislation passed through the board. It was signed... by the mayor on May 30th. On the same day, the excise commissioner approved this liquor license for this location in the first ward that under the ordinance, it should not have been approved.
Okay. The alderman for the first ward introduced a piece of legislation that enhanced the legislation that you had already done.
Previously, yes.
Okay, okay, so it made it stronger.
It made it stronger.
Okay, made it so fewer exceptions would be issued
exactly.
for a liquor license.
Exactly.
And then so what appears is going on at the city of St. Louis is they're attempting to go over the head of an alderperson and of legislation to get something done?
Exactly. And basically the individual that, and this ties, and we're talking about the fourth senatorial seat, and that's
mm-hmm.
why this comes up, because the individual who was making the application indicated that Amber Borkins,
mm-hmm.
who is a candidate in the fourth senatorial seat, that she would see to it that he would get his liquor license.
That was written down?
No, he didn't write it down. He just made the statement.
Okay.
And basically what appears to be happening, the mayor's office got involved in it through Barb Geisman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, she's not claiming that she directed Krailberg, the commissioner, excise commissioner, who is in fact a subordinate of the mayor, to issue the license, but it seems awfully strange.
So we have a situation where we have what appears to be an attempt to, again, go over legislation, go over the head of an older person, and flex on the authority of a state rep want to be seeking to be
right.
Senator.
Right. This is what has been said. Okay, there's nothing in writing that, in fact, she did, you know.
But that's what it is reported that the guy who wants the license is saying.
Right, right. And it's interesting because at one time he...
Now, and for the record, people throw around your name.
All the time.
Because I know that people are throwing around my name saying that I'm going to be...
And mine too.
Just because someone threw around your name
exactly.
doesn't mean.
And basically, he said it in the context of, you know, Amber Barkin's husband, Sean, Sims is running for state rep. And he initially had a Jamila Nasheed sign up there. Mm-hmm. So he took her sign down. She inquired as to why he had taken her sign down. And that was his response. Now, that doesn't mean that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's just that the fact that those signs went up there. What's problematic about that is not just the fact that the present alderman passed stronger legislation, but even under the existing legislation, the liquor license should not have been approved.
So then where does it go from here? There hasn't been a liquor license that has been issued.
Right.
So where does it go from here?
At this particular point in time, hopefully, you know, it's Greg Daly who actually issues the license.
Mm-hmm.
Has not issued the license.
Okay.
So he is awaiting, I believe, further recommendation from the city councilor's office.
So if the city councilor's office that has been wrong on, I mean, they've been wrong on so many, I think their record is almost as bad as Jennifer Joyce's record. But
mainly because the city councilor's office is greatly politicized.
Yeah, it's a puppet of Francis Slay.
Very much so.
So if the city councilor's office decides that it is okay to supersede the alderman and to supersede the law, are there legal efforts or legal actions that the alderman could take?
The alderman,
could a citizen take?
A citizen in the circuit, you know, in the Platte area.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that a citizen in the Platte area who did not support the liquor license would have standing to challenge it.
So was there a hearing held on it like you're supposed to have with liquor license?
There was a hearing held on it, and, you know, you get signatures, and it's my understanding that the applicant had one more signature than they needed.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the only consideration.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the signatures. You still have to comply with what the law says.
So I guess the story will continue.
It's going to be evolving. It's my understanding that before a week's end, there's going to be a legal opinion issued for the license collector, who is Greg Daly, who, of course, is running for the collector revenue seat. So it's going to be quite interesting, and it's going to be interesting for a number of races. This is probably the first time in the city of St. Louis where the excise commissioner is issuing a license under, I guess he's saying that it's an exception, it's a restaurant, you
mm-hmm.
know, but it's not because the occupancy permit hadn't been issued.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably the first time in the city of St. Louis, one of the conditions to getting the liquor license is that you have an occupancy permit.
Mm-hmm. So the license was, the statement that a license was going to be issued was issued before there was even an occupancy permit.
Exactly.
That's odd. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. This is Eye on the Lou. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back after this. Stay with us.
Again, to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4, here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in AM 920 WGNU every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, then go do the right thing.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU.
Woof. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. The CIA has shut down its special unit that dealt with capturing Osama bin Laden and his high-ranking lieutenants. The unit was known as Alex Station and was put together in 1996. The CIA says at the time they felt that Al-Qaeda was run by just a few people, and if those few were neutralized, the operation would fall apart. But now that perspective has changed because so many small and scattered operations do not take direct orders from bin Laden. The unit was closed out at the end of last year, but it only was made public within the last week. The CIA says this does not mean capturing bin Laden and his people is no longer a high priority. And Dateline Moscow. The president of Russia has told his parliament he wants the authority to send soldiers and special forces anywhere on the planet to fight terrorists. Vladimir Putin made his statement to the upper house of parliament just 9 days after insurgents killed 4 hostages they had taken in Iraq. Russia has offered a $10 million reward for the capture of those responsible for the deaths, and Putin has said he wants them hunted down and eliminated. The Speaker of the Russian House is on record as saying the body is ready to give Putin the authority to do what is necessary. When Chechen rebels slaughtered children in the town of Beslan in 2004, Putin was prepared to send warplanes to attack any bases they were utilizing anywhere in the world. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. The struggle for fairness on the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. This is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. And Irene, I guess we have a story here for the homeless, about the homeless here.
Yeah, and to me it is an important story because, first of all, the mayor has put together this 10-year plan to end homelessness. Mm-hmm. Of course, the statistics on the number of homeless with respect to what the mayor's office and the Department of Human Resources has issued, they're claiming that there's only 2,000 homeless people in the city of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Of course, the Veterans Administration says it's 6,000, and a third of those are veterans. So annually they've had a tent city across from City Hall. Mm-hmm. from City Hall. But this year it took a different spin. Basically what Reverend Larry Rice, who has been working with the homeless, is requesting of the city is to give an acre of land so that the homeless can basically take this vacant land, pitch tents, operate it, maintain it to help them get on their feet. And I guess he's patterning it after this Dignity City or Dignity Town on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. They're in the process of collecting signatures.
The response from Slay's office has been the homeless are not they don't need a parking lot.
Right. That's the last thing they need is a vacant lot.
They said parking. I thought they said parking lot. So what is the risk? I mean, so this is something that is different that Larry Rice is asking for.
Because never before has there been he attempted to get the federal building on a market, and that was blocked, and I think that may even still be under appeal because from GSA because of some federal legislation that would have given them a right to a first priority on this piece of property. Of course, the city opposed that as well. So now, I guess he was looking for different models to try to get somewhere, a safe place to stay. And so he came up with this idea, patterned after something, I think, out of Portland, Oregon, to use this vacant, you know, an acre of vacant land somewhere. And
somewhere in the city of St. Louis.
Somewhere in the city of St. Louis. And, of course, we have a lot of vacant land in the city of St. Louis. But the director of human services for the city of St. Louis, Bill Seedoff, says, that's the last thing the homeless need.
Mm-hmm. So in terms, again, we come back to a reflection on Francis Slay in terms of this. The homeless issue has not been a successful issue for Francis Slay either. He's come at it heavy-handed. He's gone to court with it, and he's lost on
That's
it.
Right.
So this is not one of the finer moments for this administration.
I don't think it has at all, because as you will recall, as you were kind of indicating, 2 years ago, they arrested the homeless people during the VP Fair situation. Had them clean up the street. Had not even been brought into court, hadn't been charged or anything. And, of course, that was challenged in federal district court, and there was also a similar related challenge in state court in the city laws.
And this brings me to another issue in terms of leadership under this particular administration. You mentioned that Francis Slay had used homeless people to clean up the streets without charging them with anything, just gathering up homeless people to clean up in two ways, to actually pick up trash, but also to give the appearance that we don't have a homeless issue in the city of St. Louis. We had the VP Fair just a couple of days ago, and the person in charge of the VP Fair is Francis Slay's sister. And from all indication, one of the things that they did was they reduced the number of days that the VP Fair celebration or events were taking place. And so they reduced the number of days, but they also attempted to push the VP Fair towards downtown St. Louis in an effort to, in her words, to let people know about all the great things that are going on downtown. And I've watched the news, Irina. I haven't seen that in any measurable way that you could say that the VP Fair under Francis Slay's sister has been very successful.
No, it has not been successful. In fact, I mean, if they're honest and the cameras kind of swept the park area down near the origin, it was scarce.
Mm-hmm.
It was scarce.
And, you know, every year you have something okay, weather's always going to be an issue. Weather's always going to be an issue. And also, since the 4th of July fell on a Tuesday, that's also an issue. However, I think that just like the story with the recall of Alderman Bosley, the news isn't telling the truth about what's going on in the fair city of St. Louis.
Not at all. Not at all. You have a, you know, buried story. The fact of the matter is a lot of vendors have come out of the VP Fair. They went to other, you know, Webster Grove, St. Charles. They felt that the price of getting a spot cost less, so they went there. People went less. You know, people that live in St. Charles and Webster Grove, so, you know, with the price of gas, why go down, tread through all the traffic and everything? So it was not successful. Of course, they're trying to say that they're going to have, I guess, a six-week series or something.
To continually bring people down to, and that is the theory. But then if that's the plan, then that's fine. But let's be honest about what happened, what took a hit as a result of the decision to spread this out. And, you know, the numbers will, at the end of the summer, the numbers will tell, but it's not a very good start. It's not a very good start.
It's not a very good story. And it's like this the tie-in and the Animal on Home Parade. They had a jazz set after the Animal on Home Day Parade that was downtown this year in May. And I guess it's kind of, you know, you're trying to promote a downtown, you know.
But you also have to get to the place, again, of what is the downtown like. Does the downtown area, have there been things that have been put in the downtown area that pull people downtown? You know, I live close to downtown, and there is nothing that is downtown in any kind of real way that would make me want to go to downtown.
You know? No, there isn't.
So, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Well, we're almost a month out for the elections. Let's do some election assessments in terms of where candidates are and where campaigns are and what's happening in the different campaigns out here. The fourth senatorial election, the seat. What do you see going on out there?
A lot of intense campaigning. Two of the candidates, you know, they've started some of their media spots. It's real interesting. Jeff Smith has a spot on another radio station, and he's not doing a spot. It's a black male doing it.
And why isn't Jeff Smith using his own voice in the spot?
Well, the spot is talking about it wants to push Jeff Smith as a individual who works toward working with the races. He has a...
So his first step out is to step into a race where there are three black people running so that there won't be a black... With his goal, we won't have another black senator. That's his way of working with the races?
Yeah, and you know, one thing the young man says, he says, you know, you go to the churches and you hear all these other politicians. You know, Jeff has been out there with us. He's worked with the kids. He's did this. When you hear all these other politicians coming into the church and they speak in there, say amen, but vote for Jeff Smith.
So that's like, let's just kind of dissect that for a second. So Jeff Smith has a black person go on a black religious station to slam black people.
It's not a religious station.
Okay, but to slam black people for what black people do and say that this white person is going to do well for black people. But the first thing out of his first commercial spot out of the box is using a black person to slam black people and what they do and support the white guy. That's basically twisted.
You know, okay, talking about, you know, elected officials visit churches. You know, that's a good way you're going to try to get to the voters at every venue that you can. So he goes on, you know, talking about this when, you know, these people who have not been out there, who have not been in there, da-da-da-da-da, they come.
But wait a minute. What has Jeff Smith been out there doing?
He's been working with kids.
He's been running for office. He's been out there running for office.
The young man says he's been at the Boys Club. He has a very successful, which I take issue with that, a very successful school in our community. He's working to resolve issues. When he was in college, you know, he majored in black studies.
They didn't say that in the commercial, did they? Did he throw that in black people's faces once again? Did he do it? Did he?
You know what? It was something about the black man that ran. He supported a mayoral, a black mayoral candidate or something that ran against a racist or something.
Went back to North Carolina. He went back to his North Carolina bag. So, okay, so we have that. What else do we have going on in the fourth senatorial race?
You were just talking about the endorsement from the 24th.
Mm-hmm. The 24th ward had a vote on who they were going to endorse, and they endorsed Gambaro, and substantially. And I think it's interesting because we have the understanding that Jeff Smith carried the 24th ward when he ran for the congressional race. However, the fact of the matter is that he was running against a Carnahan. And everybody wanted a Carnahan ad. I don't know that that is going to be indicative of the strength that he has. I would think that he didn't get the endorsement last time either from the 24th ward. However,
He carried
the 24th ward. So it's going to be interesting. I suspect, given the conservatism of Gambaro, it's going to be a different battle.
It is going to be a different battle. And it's real interesting because the Carnahans are not originally from St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
okay? Gambaro, you know, that's...
Gambaro is.
You know.
And Jeff Smith's not from St. Louis. You know, Jeff Smith went to Ledoux High School, so he's not from St. Louis either. So it's going to be interesting.
He's not from St. Louis City.
Yeah, not from St. Louis City.
Yeah.
Ledoux's not St. Louis. So he's not from that, from the city of St. Louis. So that's going to be interesting as well. In terms of, we only have a minute left. Tell you what, when we come back next week, we'll continue our conversation because we'll be a week closer to the election of August 8th. I on the Lou, Irene J. Smith, thank you so much. See
thank
you next
you.
Week.
Bye-bye.
And this is Liz Brown. We'll be back with Justice for Reggie. Stay with us.
People who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how brings this
the hard truth. The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Don't try to stop us. That's what North Korea is telling the world as it prepares to conduct more missile tests. ABC's Jonathan Carl at the State Department.
This morning, the South Korean newspapers are reporting that North Korea has 3 or 4 more missiles on launch pads and ready to go. Now, these are the small to medium-range missiles, not the long-range Taepodong 2 that can reach the United States. But even these smaller missiles are capable of hitting U.S. troops stationed in South Korea and Japan.
The U.N. Security Council is considering action against Pyongyang. NASA awakened the shuttle Discovery crew with Elton John's song Daniel, a tribute to European Thomas Reeder, the astronaut on board.
Good morning. Thanks a lot for this beautiful music. It's a good reminder that... there are people on Earth that are thinking of us.
His son's name is Daniel. Reeder leaves Discovery later today after the shuttle hooks up with the International Space Station. Well, they are really feeling it in Atlantic City as New Jersey's budget shutdown continues. It is day 5. The casinos are closed and people are leaving the city in droves.
We never thought it would happen. We're in as much disbelief as everyone else.
He's a driver for a bus company that ferries people from Washington, D.C. to Atlantic City. Have a Coke and a trial. That could very well be what is going to happen to 3 people who are now under arrest for allegedly selling secrets from Coca-Cola and giving them to Pepsi.
In a statement to its employees, Coke said the incident underscores the need to be vigilant about protecting trade secrets. Information, it said, is the lifeblood of the company.
That's ABC's Ron Corning. Grey's Anatomy is the show to beat going into next month's Emmy Award. The drama about young doctors at a Seattle hospital got 11 nominations. The Emmys will be handed out next month in Los Angeles. This is ABC News.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
can he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish!
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Hear the acclaimed Bose Wave music system. It's elegantly small, and it brings new life to music. Forbes FYI says it sounds like a system that costs 5 times more. And now there's an optional multi-CD changer for hours of uninterrupted music. Call 1-800-611-1617 for a 30-day risk-free trial. Ask about making low monthly payments using your own major credit card. Order by August 31st, and you'll receive a free premium backlit remote with large illuminated buttons of $40 value. Call 1-800-611-1617.
Well, maybe winning the reality TV show Survivor is not such a good thing. Another winner is in trouble with the law. And apparently he is in trouble because he is charged with shooting a puppy with an arrow. The case began, authorities say, when the winner, Brian Hedick's wife, called to report that there was something in the couple's yard. He thought it might have been a coyote that might have been harassing his pets. Turns out that was not the case at all. He has since been charged with cruelty to animals. So, Mr. President, how many candles on the birthday cake today? The answer, 60. The Boomer-in-Chief, however, is determined to redefine the milestone birthday. He doesn't run anymore. No, his knees have forced him to give that up. Instead, he rides his bike. Sometimes his aides say for hours on end, and he still plays a pretty good game of golf. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, there are no arrests in a double murder in North St. Louis. 43-year-old Juan Perryman and 50-year-old Tom Cummings were killed outside a home in the 3500 block of Evans late Tuesday night. Two others, one a 13-year-old boy, were wounded in the shooting. The pools at Shaw Park are dry because of an apparent act of vandalism. All three pools were drained and are being cleaned because broken glass was found in and around them. It's believed vandals smashed glass bottles sometime after the pools closed Tuesday night. They will reopen on Monday. The United States can't act alone in punishing North Korea for test-firing several missiles. This is the message from Jean-Robert Legay-Fayou, a political science professor at St. Louis University.
And bring as many countries as we can together to consider what the group is willing to do to apply pressure on Korea.
The United Nations Security Council is considering imposing sanctions on North Korea. The U says if that pushes North Korea to become aggressive, we'll have to stop them. Finally this hour, the Cardinals have now lost five consecutive series after getting pounded by the Braves 14-4 in the rubber game last night at Turner Field. The Cards have lost 12 of their last 15, but they continue to lead the Central Division by two games over the Reds. Jeff Zupan is the latest Redbird starter to get roughed up, as he allowed 10 runs, 9 earned, in 3 1/3 innings. Zupan is now 6-5 on the year with an ERA of 5.83. The Birds received home runs from Scott Rowland and Hector Luna, but the Braves scored 5 runs in the first inning and 6 more in the fourth to cruise to the victory. The Cards are 45-38 overall, but just 19-21 on the road. The Cards begin their final series before the All-Star break this evening with the first of 4 against the Houston Astros. First pitch is 7:05 at Minute Maid Park. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery Set for Life. 6 new instant games, $200 million in total available prizes, plus a second chance drawing. Illinois Lottery. Have a ball. Play responsibly. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. Eastbound 40 at Lindbergh. Look for heavy volume going on there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant. Traffic's building there. Eastbound 40 from 141 all the way to Mason. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203 and 367 looks good. Northbound 270 is slow on at 30 and then slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 at Natural Bridge, look for road construction center lanes closed. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Gravel Pit through Laclede's Landing, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you've got some backups there. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, look for traffic to be building due to road construction that's going on there. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Napa Auto Parts. An oil change can help improve your vehicle's economy and fuel dependability. And right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get a Napa conventional motor oil for just $1.59 a quart. Napa, get the good stuff. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday, 40 days, sunny with a high in the mid-80s for this evening, clear with a low in the lower 60s. Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s, and Saturday mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 65 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 65 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. It's Justice for Reggie. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you say? Our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
citizenship. So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to, you know what, it's Thursday, and it's Thursday at 8 o'clock. That means that it's time for Justice for Reggie, and I am here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I am rested. I took a few days off, and it's a good thing. But it's good to be back, and why don't you tell everybody what we're going to be doing today, because this is information that everybody needs to know.
And Liz, before we bring on the guests, I do want to go over a couple of announcements, because a lot of times toward the end we get so into the guests and the information we're rushing. But people who have signed up for the Know Your Workshop training. Now, this is going to be a train-the-trainer workshop. Know Your Rights workshop. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Know Your Rights workshop. So it'll be a train-the-trainer model. So if you're interested in just getting the information, we're going to come right out of that July 20th workshop with workshops for people who just want to know their rights. So stay tuned. But if you want to be a trainer, and particularly if you are a youth provider or somehow work with young people, this is an opportunity for you to come and get that information, and that'll be July 20th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Rowan Community Center. There will be light refreshments served, so be there. And then on July 10th is our regular campaign meeting for Justice for Reggie, and we're going to be doing a big mailing, so we want people to come out for that.
And when are you going to do another one of the viewings of the television piece?
We're going to be doing that the 24th of July.
And are there any updates on the letters that were sent out? Was it a week ago? Have you gotten any
updates? It's a week ago, and no, we have not gotten anything. So,
and these were letters that were sent out?
These were letters that were sent out after people viewed the American Justice segment on the Chain of Rocks Bridge and saw all the many contradictions and conflicting facts and wrote to the producers at A&E TV. And so perhaps by the time we have another Reggie Thursday or even by the time we have the July 10th campaign meeting, there have been some response. So we'll do that after each time we do the viewing, because I just think that, you know, when you see that kind of you know, media blight and media misinformation, you have to respond. And so we'll be doing that after each view, and as well as having a discussion after each one. And I do want to remind people that we are in the throes of collecting 35,000 signatures on the petition for Reggie Clemens as part of a birthday gift on his 35th birthday on August 30th. So, you know, people were collecting signatures over the weekend. There were lots of activities. There's, you know, the Get Out the Vote activity at Fairgrounds this week. So there's lots of places where people can go, and we're hoping people are out there with the petitions.
And one of the things that we need to talk about before we get to our guest is the one of the components of Reginald's case is the targeting of Reginald Clemens, the targeting of Marlon Gray, the targeting of these young men by the police department, because that is a component of, that is a reason why Marlon Gray is dead and a reason why Reginald Clemens is in jail and a reason why the young white man who was the best suspect had got an award, a civil rights violation award from the police department. Is that right, Jerome?
That's correct. $150,000 reward for his testimony and for his compliance with Nels Moss in the prosecution of three innocent young black men.
So to address that, when we come back, we're going to be talking to Rod K. Brunson, an assistant professor at the Department of Criminology and Criminal Justice at UMSL, and we're going to be talking about how young black men are policed in the United States. In fact, there's an interesting word that he uses, symbolic assailants. When we come back, we're going to discuss that. I'll be back with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? That's right. If you're going to get your shop on this weekend, if you're going to get that brand-new lawnmower, how about some tools? How about a nice big-screen television? Get on down to the Sears in the city of St. Louis, the only Sears in the city of St. Louis at Union and Natural Bridge. The best deals, the best location, and you know what? The best customer service in town. If it's going to be done, have it done by the people that care about you and care about the products that you get at Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. When you get there, tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
We have a guest this morning joining us, Rod K. Brunson, assistant professor at the Department of Criminology and Criminal Justice at UMSL. And Rod, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Very good. Rod, you wrote an article, did a study, Young Black Men and Urban Policing in the United States. I want to start with something that Jamala had mentioned to me this just a few minutes ago.
Well, one, I just want to say good morning, Rod, to you. And Rod and both Jody Miller, who co-authored this piece with him, are some of my favorite people in the research area of criminology. They've done amazing work that has informed, you know, the way that I work with young people and also a better understanding of the criminal justice system and the juvenile justice system. And Jody has done a lot of work with gender and girls and gangs and that kind of thing. And I think what's particularly important is that they do it from a neighborhood-based context. And so that's the spirit in which this piece was written. And one of the things that I was sharing with Liz is that you all had difficulty getting this published in the United States and had to go all the way across the waters to get the British Journal of Criminology to publish this last year.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, it's often difficult in some respects when you are engaged in non-traditional research methods, and non-traditional in the sense that there is a history of qualitative research that has certainly been well documented in the literature. But when you're talking about issues as it relates to experiences and perceptions of discrimination, et cetera, there is often what we feel in some respects is an unfair or at least a higher bar that's placed there, and that is how can we take at face value the words of individuals who, some of which were involved in offending and self-reported their involvement in offending, and how can we take at face value their words when they are critical of the criminal justice system? It's interesting because we know, and Jamala knows this firsthand as well, is that there is a body of research that also has been published where we ask young people or we ask citizens, we ask respondents, et cetera, about their involvement in crime, and yet that is taken at face value. We don't, or the tendency is not to second guess that, and can we really believe that you have committed the offenses that you said that you have committed? But yet when young people or when respondents are critical of the criminal justice system, there tends to be a double standard as it relates to, is this valid and is this reliable information that we're receiving?
Well, when you speak to police officers that are in support of the police department, are those studies or those words questioned as because they are self-serving as well?
Well, we haven't necessarily encountered any resistance from the police department or members of the police organization.
No. I guess my point was is that when people are questioning the validity or the veracity of someone's statement from a point of self-servingness, as they are questioning, as I'm hearing you say that they question the words of young black men, that same type of critical eye is not pointed at other groups of people that are also self-serving.
Well, I would say that is probably true. And what I'm speaking of as it relates to the resistance or at least an overly critical analysis of the language and the reports, our experience is that it came from reviewers, and these are anonymous reviewers, and it's a blind review process. And so some of the comments that we got back from the reviewers were, well, this is hearsay, and how can we take this information to be true, because they come from people who are who have self-reported their involvement in delinquency. And our response is that all of the young people in the sample were not involved in delinquency, and that kind of speaks to some of the major findings, or at least
report.
It highlights some of the findings that it really didn't, the young men said that it really didn't matter whether or not they were involved in delinquency. It was the combination of being African-American and living in distressed and disadvantaged communities that exposed them to treatment as if they were guilty of something.
So what did you start off with? What was the reason that for this report? What brought you to this question of young black men and urban policing in the United States?
Well, actually, it came from a larger study that was being conducted by Norm White and Jody Miller, my co-author, and they were looking at violence and how young people experience violence in several St. Louis neighborhoods. and there were some questions that were embedded in the research instrument that asked about neighborhood conditions and asked about responsiveness of the police and how the police responded to neighborhood crime, et cetera. So it wasn't the focus, originally wasn't the focus of the study, and it was kind of born because we got all this information and all this data where young people were eager to speak about their perceptions and their experiences with the police.
So when your study took a look at police behavior, you pointed out three different ways that or three different issues that were brought to light. Talk to us about those.
Okay. The one is that, as I mentioned earlier, that it really young people got a sense that it really didn't matter whether or not that they were engaged in any wrongdoing, whether or not they had been involved in crime. They believed that they were viewed, and Jamala, I think, spoke earlier about the use of the term symbolic assailants, is that they believed that they were viewed negatively because of a combination of living in distressed neighborhoods, but also because they were young black men.
And what were some of the things that you found that were surprising to you?
The surprising things, I guess, were the frequency of contacts. We know from the broader literature that minorities have less than favorable attitudes of police when compared to whites, and this is, again, is consistent across groups. But what we found to be surprising is that even, again, consistent across groups, that young people have less favorable attitudes than of the police than do adults. And this has been explained because of the frequency, again, of contacts that young people have. And I guess one of the most surprising things I said before was kind of this cumulative impact of repeated stops and repeated questioning and detaining, et cetera. And again, some of these may have been very legitimate reasons why the police stopped them. But again, the thing that kind of stood out for us was this issue or aspect of the cumulative impact of being stopped. So if you are stopped repeatedly, even if you're stopped for very legitimate reasons, it seemed to have some negative impact on young people's experiences with or their perceptions of the police. And so it led us to go further and to pursue this in other lines of research and other articles in which we've examined the cumulative aspect or the cumulative properties of police contact.
And Rod, you talk about the cumulative impact on those perceptions and attitudes, but one of the things that I looked at also as I was reading some of the narrative of the young people in there in their interactions with police is that some of those young people were being stopped 5 or 6 times a day,
mm-hmm.
not a week, a day.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about the kind of response that a young person would have after being stopped that many times a day over a period of week, over a period of months, I can't help but believe that you then have an attitude, period.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these incidents happen on the way to school where kids' book bags were searched and the contents thrown. So here you are coming to school. You got a bad attitude. So now you're going to respond to a teacher. And so I'm just looking at overall is the cumulative impact also on the stops and how it impacts that child's behavior in their interactions with people in general. What do you think about that?
I think, again, one of the significant findings, to take some liberties and call them that, were that young people had the sense that it really didn't matter what they did. And I think that that's one of the more disturbing things in what you're kind of speaking to, that they couldn't escape being seen as being symbolic assailants. They couldn't escape being seen as though they were guilty of something and that the police just needed to find the evidence to determine what they were guilty of. And again, it kind of speaks to this notion of this continual, you know, being stopped repeatedly and being in this context where the policing strategies kind of lent themselves to this type of behavior.
And the type of contact that these young people had, it didn't just consist of searching a book bag. There's physical contact as well, wasn't there, Rod?
Most incidents, and again, a later article that we had published and is going to appear in Gender and Society, we actually compared the experiences of young women and young men as it relates to their experiences with and attitudes toward the police. And what we found was that most of the encounters with young men began with some type of physical touching, whether it was searching, whether it was grabbing, whether it was, cavity searches, et cetera, that most of the encounters began with some aggressive type of behavior.
Began with that.
Right.
And we're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Our guest this morning, Rod K. Brunson, assistant professor at the Department of Criminology and Criminal Justice at UMSL. We're talking about young black men, urban policing in the United States. We'll be back.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hey, it's Brian Self from The Stranglehold here on WGNU. And you know, some people think that just because The Stranglehold is about pro wrestling, all we do is throw around some chairs and scream real loud.
And you can say what you want about our clothes, but, we have no problem in whooping somebody's butt again. We can start with you if you want.
Well, we don't need to do that. Okay, so maybe things tend to get a little excited. However, we're also not afraid to get into some of the serious issues that go beyond the ring.
For me, you know, over the years I've taken Percocets and Vicodins and everything, never had a problem. I would take a couple and put the rest in my bag and never had an issue with it.
Right.
But with the OxyContin, they can quit 50 pills a day, which should have killed me. There's no reason why I'm still here.
So check it out, The Stranglehold, Tuesday nights at 6:30, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a quick look at the traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Eastbound 40 between 270 and Hanley. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry and West Florissant is slow. Eastbound 40 between Woods Mill and Mason Road. Look for slow traffic as well. Westbound 270 at Canal Bridge. Look for everything to be on the move. Eastbound 70 at National Bridge. There's road construction going on there. Northbound 270 at 44 is returned back to normal. Eastbound 70 at 370 in the Blanchett Bridge looks good. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow approaches there, as well as westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge. There's paving operations reducing it to three lanes, and traffic is backed up through 64. Eastbound 40 at the Poplar Street Bridge is also reduced to three lanes. There are no delays at this hour. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue and 5570. Look for slow traffic. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Orkin Pest Control. Termites work 24/7, 365. Luckily, Orkin works harder. The Orkin man has been fighting invasions for over 100 years, so protect your home, protect your family. Call 1-800-ORKINMAN for help today. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. Sunny today, high in the mid-80s. This evening, clear with low and lower 60s. Friday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s. And Saturday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s. Currently, we have 68 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
A.
Alternative Nail Salon and Spa. The best pedicures and manicures in town. 12470 Old Halls Ferry Road. Call 355-2102. That's 355-2102. Alternative Nail Salon and Spa. You will love to come and hate to leave.
Don't forget, always check your deck.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown, and I'm here with Jamala Rogers, as always. And our guest this morning is Rod K. Brunson, assistant professor at the Department of Criminology and Criminal Justice at UMSL. And Jamala, do you want to start off here?
Yeah, one of the things that the report seems to be consistent with, and that is the racial profiling data for 2005. For example, just in terms of what happens to young black men 17 and under, they are almost double that of the stops that young white men are in that same category. And it's the same even with the 18 to 29-year-olds. And so you have a doubling of the number of stops. And then it's interesting in terms of who gets a warning and who gets no action. That too, those numbers too are almost doubled. And so I think it really does speak to the kind of atmosphere that young black men have to operate in. And while we were on break, Rod, Liz and I were talking about how the kind of psychological profile that a white officer has to have in order to see a young black male as this symbolic assailant, so that in your mind these folks are criminals. And so the coming back again and again, regardless of if you find anything, regardless of if this person is involved in any criminal activity, you somehow have to make your reality match with what happens on the street. And it just seems to be a really desperate thing on their part, but then it also puts our young men in a place where at a certain point I think they will react. And you know, if you're getting stopped 5 or 6 times a day, getting harassed, your valuables being stolen, your and sometimes the young people talked about being stripped down, you know, taking off your clothes and being kind of left there sometimes in the rain, and I've had these kinds of accounts told to me outside of this finding. So I know that the harassment piece of it is real, and even they talked about being retaliated against if the police don't find anything.
And, well, can you, Rod, talk to us about one part of your article talks to the doing us dirty piece. Talk to us about some of the experiences that were relayed to you by some of these young people when the police were doing them dirty.
Well, first let me, something that we kind of touched upon before the break, and I want to highlight this, that when we talk about research on suspects' demeanor and relationship between the police and suspects, a lot of the research has focused on the behaviors and the attitudes of suspects and how their attitudes and how their behaviors have influenced police arrest decisions, et cetera. And what we think is the one of the valuable contributions of our work is that it actually looks at it from the other end of the spectrum, that is, how officers' demeanor may influence suspect demeanor, which may in turn influence officers' decision-making as it relates to whether or not to arrest, whether or not to give a citation, et cetera. But again, the doing us dirty aspect of the article, at least that subfield of the article, kind of came about as a natural progression as well, and that it follows we talk about everyone's dirty. And so it follows that in the sense that young men believe that the police thought that everyone in their neighborhood, particularly the young black men, were guilty, as I mentioned before, of something, and they just had to find the evidence to find out what they were guilty of. And so doing us dirty just naturally evolved from that, and where young men talked about how the police treated them and that the police treated them with general disrespect, and verbal abuse being the most common and not the most excessive forms of police misconduct that we sometimes hear about on the news.
The Rodney King type of brutality.
Sure. And there were more subtle things. And, of course, some of those incidents did happen where the police were accused of engaging in some physical abuse, but also it extended to with young men determined that the police put a case on them, and that is that they gave them arrest for drug violations when they perceived the situation that if they weren't either they were not in possession of the drugs, or that legally they felt that they were not in possession of the contraband. One of the other interesting things that you asked, what were some of the most interesting kind of findings that came about, and Jamala touched on this earlier when she talked about white officers viewing young black men as symbolic assailants. And one of the interesting findings is that it really didn't seem to matter as it relates to the race of the officer. The black officers, and again, many of these accounts that we have, black officers were engaged in the same types of behaviors, so at least young people. The young people described the officers as being African-American officers, and that it really didn't seem to matter. But the young men viewed the misconduct of black officers as particularly egregious because they expected, not that they expected to be treated well by the police, but they expected somewhat better or at least fair and legal treatment by African-American officers.
I want to share some of the commentaries that you got from some of the young men that you talked to, because these are their words. I want to share this with our audience and ask you to comment on this. One, Travis, was saying, young man named Travis, "I was standing on the corner and we got these police we call the jump out boys. They, the police, be riding them regular cars and they look like regular people, and they like, what you doing on this corner? And I'm just steady talking to them, and they thought I had some dope in my mouth. So this one cop grabbed me and just started squeezing my throat. I was coughing and spitting up stuff like I'm like, what y'all doing this for? And they kept on like, don't swallow it, son. I'm like, swallow? I ain't got no dope. I opened up my mouth after they let go. I was showing them and everything. I mean, it's like they do a job to make sure dope isn't on the street, but I mean, I don't think it's their job to literally squeeze someone's Adam's apple." And, Rod, I read this and I feel this young man's agony out here. How does he process this? When he's telling this story, is he able to, does he laugh this off? Does he get mad about this? How do the young people process this type of stuff that they're going through?
There's several possible reactions, and we probably witnessed a wide range of them, and that some young people view this as just a normal kind of occurrence.
Cost of doing business, being a black man.
In the types of neighborhoods that they lived in, and some saw it as, you know, the ones that over time, and that's an interesting question, you know, whether or not over time they just came to accept them. You'll see some other passages, particularly a respondent that we gave the pseudonym of Ricky laughs about it. He talks about his experiences with the police, and he goes on and says, "I've been choked, I've been kicked, I could go on forever." And he laughs about it, and we have the laughs in the quotation as
mm-hmm.
well.
"I've been thrown to the ground, been kicked, been choked, man, I could go on forever."
Right. And so, again, it's a very individual response and a coping mechanism, which it kind of lends itself to this cumulative process. At some point, do you just expect to be treated poorly, and that it has to really be a serious you know, being that some, as you mentioned before, a Rodney King type of incident, to elicit some type of a very, a public kind of condemnation. Otherwise, you know, if you just talk poorly to me, I expect you to do that. If you tell me to get off the corner several times, I expect you to do that. If I'm stopped frequently, I expect to be stopped. I know, and again, some of these things came across in the interviews. They knew the routine. I know that if I do this and I do this and I do this, it'll be over with and I could just go on about my business.
And in terms of how they were treated when police found something on them and how they were treated when the police didn't find anything on them, did your study find any difference in the treatment?
Well, that they were, again, the notion of that they were already guilty of something, or the young men felt that the police believed that they were already guilty of something. And often what occurred was that when the police didn't find anything, young men said that the police actually got angry.
So it got worse in some respects when they didn't find anything.
Right, because the police believed that they were being particularly cunning, and that it, we'll get you next time, I think is relayed in some of the respondents' words as well. And that particularly if you're living in a neighborhood and you have police officers who work the same neighborhood as well, there's a relationship. But what I also want to mention as well is that there were incidents where young people spoke favorably of their interactions with the police as well. So I want to make sure to make that point. But what was particularly interesting is that there seemed to be an age at which the nature of the relationship changed. That younger people, were, and even kids said that the police wave at little kids. They give them, baseball cards. They play with them. They interact with them differently. And there seemed to be a turning point that when young men
around eighth grade,
yeah, that the nature of that relationship mm-hmm. seemed to change, and they then became symbolic assailants.
We'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. We're talking to Rod K. Brunson, assistant professor at the Department of Criminology and Criminal Justice at UMSL. Stay with us.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Each Friday, my co-host Liz Tanz and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects. So come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Cairo. The president of Egypt is reported to be in failing health and has begun making preparations to turn the reins of power over to his son by next year. 78-year-old Hosni Mubarak has been spending less and less time on the job because of his physical ailments. His son Gamal is now taking care of most of the domestic issues of the country and is also learning how to deal with security and diplomatic duties. The Bush administration has privately told Mubarak it approves of his son taking over and will assist any way it can. Next to Israel, Egypt has received more military aid than any other country. Mubarak is said to favor cracking down on civil liberties in order to round up opponents and clear the way for his son to take over. The Bush administration has been rejecting any efforts to link the amount of military aid to guarantees of continuing democracy in Egypt. And Dateline London. The British military is reported to have problems supplying its forces in Afghanistan. It seems that about half of its helicopter supply fleet cannot fly during daylight hours because of extremely high temperatures. There are over 3,000 British troops in the southern portion of the country. They receive their supplies with half a dozen Chinook helicopters and four Lynx aircraft. But the heat and thin air of the Helmand Desert has created mechanical problems for the flights during the daytime. The commander of the British forces there says he has requested new equipment because of an increase in the number of attacks his forces have experienced. Five British soldiers have died in Afghanistan over the last 3 weeks. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Thank you. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. I am here with Jamala Rogers. Our guest this morning is Rod K. Brunson, an assistant professor at with the Department of Criminology and Criminal Justice at UMSL. He has written, co-authored a report, Young Black Men and Urban Policing in the United States. This was reported in the British Journal of Criminology Advanced Access, published October 13th, 2005. And please make note that this was published outside of the United States. Rod, one of the things that I was looking at in your report, you had mentioned a little bit earlier that the young black men that you talked to were made note of the fact that they received this type of treatment from police officers irrespective of their color. But one of the things in your report you talked about, that it wasn't just the color that they talked about in terms of who they were assaulted by. The young men also had other comments about the color of the police officers. Can you talk to us about that?
No. Can you kind of lead me to
okay. Well, one of the things that you talked about, is it a black thing? One section of your article, is it a black thing, that you make the comment or you draw the conclusion that race didn't matter. It's not to say that race didn't matter in their discussions. One of the people that you talked to talked about one particular cop being an Uncle Tom. So can you talk to us about that particular story?
Well, again, it goes back to this notion of the expectations, and that over time, young people expected to be treated poorly by the police, but there was a qualitative difference, I guess, in the expectations that they had of white officers and the expectations that they had of black officers, particularly black officers who young men perceived had more familiarity with the types of conditions and the types of issues and the processes that were involved in being young black men and coming up in that environment. And so when they responded to them in probably similar ways that the white officers responded, they thought that this was particularly treasonous behavior because they should know better. And the part of the article that talks about is it a black thing is more a commentary on the neighborhood and the neighborhood conditions, and that there is a body of literature that talks about the social ecology of policing. And a colleague of mine, David Klinger, has written extensively about this. And the social ecology of policing basically examines whether, and we know this anecdotally, but whether neighborhoods are policed differently depending upon the racial composition of them, the socioeconomic status of the residents. And so young men saw this as well, and they make some comments about how if they lived in a different neighborhood, that they see the police in different neighborhoods, and they have friends that live in different neighborhoods, and that those neighborhoods don't seem to be policed in the same way that their neighborhoods are policed. And again, the social ecology of policing offers that that we should expect this because there are different types of demands on police resources given the nature of crime, given the nature of the conditions in particular neighborhoods.
And I was going to say that brings to mind one of the young men talked about, you know, a white female jogger at 3 a.m. jogging through the Central West End, and nobody's asking her, why are you out here? And yet in his neighborhood, if he's in front of his house, the question comes, why are you out here at this time of the night? And so I think that does speak to, you know, the sort of comparison that you're making about how different, communities are policed. But the other thing that came out around the race question is that that black officers seem to be more likely to mistreat the youth when a white officer was present. Now, what's your make of that?
That was interesting initially, and then we have that footnoted as well because we really didn't set out to examine that, and we didn't pursue that further with young people, and enough of them didn't mention that for us to pursue it to the extent in which, you know, it is interesting. But what we noted is that in the literature, that there seems to be a relationship between the number of officers and whether or not some serious physical altercation occurred. So it may not be just that there were white officers present, that the likelihood that the situation escalated may be more could be tied to the number of officers and not just the race of the officers.
Such as when we had in Maplewood, right? Where the black officer from the St. Louis Police Department joined in aggressively with the white officers from Maplewood who was kicking the assailant and beating him.
Right, it may be but those, you know, race is one of the most, you know, obviously visible things that we can see. And so for young people, they noticed the race of the officers, but it may have been just an artifact, and the number of officers may have also contributed to whether or not the situation escalated. But I wanted to talk quickly about racial profiling. It was mentioned earlier. And what we think, again, that our findings are particularly important for racial profiling initiatives, which have become increasingly popular. And while they provide some insights, qualitative design, such as the one that we use, may be used to complement quantitative data. And specifically, the most research on racial profiling consists of documenting the frequency of stops that are experienced by members of various minority groups and determining whether or not the rates are disproportionate given the overall racial composition of citizens who live in or have an occasion to pass through a particular geographical area. What we would say is that examining the frequency of stops alone, however, may fail to fully capture the complexity of the relationships between minority citizens and the police.
Why is that?
Because if we look at a community, and again, I'm going to draw some figures just out of the air, but if we look at perhaps, let's say, Walnut Park neighborhood, and we see that the racial composition of the neighborhood is 89%, and we look at the police stop data for a period of time, and it demonstrates to us that 89% of the people who are stopped are minorities or are African American. Then on its surface, we would say, well, it doesn't appear that racial profiling is taking place here because the number of stops or the frequency or the percentage of stops is in line with what we would expect given the racial composition of those who live in the neighborhood. And so we may not go any further. And what we would argue is that you need to look beyond just the frequency of stops and whether or not the frequency of those stops match the racial composition of the people who live in the community. But what we should be more concerned about based upon the research findings is what takes place during those stops. And not to.
So it should go further than that. So the comparison should be not just the stops, not just the race of the people that stopped, but how the different races of people were treated once there was a stop.
Exactly.
And one of the things that you also make note of in your report is that that young black men talk about, okay, yes, we see some of the black officers behaving the same way as white officers do, but they seem to feel that they had a better opportunity to establish a relationship with the black officer than they did with the white officer.
Yes, that did come across as well, and that even some of the respondents noted that even when they were being arrested or being taken into custody, and again, as you've seen throughout the article on the manuscript, that some of these young men acknowledged that they were engaged in wrongdoing. But what also was important is that even though they were engaged in wrongdoing, they expected a particular type of legal process. They expected the police to behave themselves in a legitimate fashion, even if they were themselves engaged in some wrongdoing. And I think that that's where some of the perceptions of police misconduct came about.
And so based on the kind of research and findings that we have here, one of the things with the Reggie Clemens case and the chain of Rocks Bridge case period is that, you know, you had a white middle class person who initially confessed to the crime of murder, but yet three black men ended up as the ones who were arrested and convicted. So it seems to me that, and this I think is important to follow, is that it starts at that point of contact, and that one of the things that you all have definitely, in my mind, affirmed, and that is that there is differences in terms of the way that the police respond to young black males and white males.
Where can people get a copy of your study, Rod?
They can go online, and I don't have the exact web address, but the British Journal of Criminology, and they use some search engine and just put in British Journal of Criminology, and they have an advanced access system which they will allow you to download the article probably for a fee as well, but depending on where you initiate the search, if you're at the public library or something in that nature, perhaps that there isn't one. Go ahead.
This was published there. How has the response been here to it?
Well, actually, it's been well received in terms of the article itself. It was published in the July issue, and so what this advanced access system does, it allows people to get the article prior to the actual publication of it. So it's been available online for a while, but it hasn't appeared in print until July. What we found is that it's been better received outside of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, my co-author and I, Jolie Miller, have been invited to Canada several times to speak not only to citizen groups but also to police executives who are interested in how to increase their community relationships and their relationships with diverse populations in their township.
And Rod, just so that you know, the Organization for Black Struggle will be presenting the data as well as the racial profiler data at the upcoming Pomoja session Sunday at 4 o'clock at the Rowan Community Center, so people can at least get the summary of the findings, and we can definitely point them to that website. And we also will have some young people there who will be responding about their own personal experiences that probably are very similar to the young people that you interviewed.
Rod Runson, assistant professor at the Department of Criminology and Criminal Justice at UMSL. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
You too.
And
all right.
Jamala, thank you so much.
Thank
and we will
you.
See you same time, same place next week.
That's right.
All right. Take care. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Forget it. We're not going to stop. That's what North Korea is telling the world. But as ABC's Jonathan Carl tells us, the global community is also ready to fight back.
As North Korea threatens more tests, the U.S. is pushing for a diplomatic solution. The president himself has been on the phone with his counterparts in Japan and South Korea. And this morning, North Korea is threatening what it called stronger physical actions if any country pressures it to give up these tests.
A South Korean newspaper today says Pyongyang has at least 3 missiles ready for launch, not long-range ones, but those that are bad enough they could harm U.S. troops in South Korea or Japan.
I know how you feel.
ABC's Grey's Anatomy is among the frontrunners going into next month's Emmy Awards, a drama which is set at a Seattle hospital, got 11 nods. The overall leader is the miniseries Into the West, with 16 nominations. It's the real thing, but Pepsi doesn't want it. Here's ABC's Jim Hickey.
Pepsi Cola, it's the vodka.
Right from the beginning, a century ago, Pepsi Cola and Coca-Cola,
it's the real thing,
have been fierce rivals. But in unusual corporate cooperation, Pepsi notified Coke about a letter the company got offering to sell Coca-Cola's closely guarded trade secrets. Coke called in the FBI and, in a sting operation, arrested 3 people, one of them a Coca-Cola employee. Competition can be fierce, says Pepsi, but you have to be fair about it.
That's the way it should be.
Jim Hickey, ABC News.
What you have witnessed now is only the beginning.
Tomorrow will be the one-year anniversary of the attack on the London transit system. Today, Al-Qaeda's issued a statement in a video broadcast on Arabic-language TV. It shows one of the suicide bombers in the attack who warned Britons, if you just heard, that what they just saw a year ago was only the beginning. The bomber killed himself and 6 others on a London underground train. ABC News Money Scope, the Dow's up 47 points and the NASDAQ is ahead by 5. This is ABC News.
Help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
can he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish.
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Hear the acclaimed Bose Wave music system. It's elegantly small, and it brings new life to music. Ford's FYI says it sounds like a system that costs 5 times more. And now there's an optional multi-CD changer for hours of uninterrupted music. Call 1-800-611-1617 for a 30-day risk-free trial. Ask about making low monthly payments using your own major credit card. Order by August 31st, and you'll receive a free premium backlit remote with large illuminated buttons of $40 value. Call 1-800-611-1617.
His was a generation that said not to trust anyone over the age of 30. Well, today President Bush turned 60, but don't call him a senior citizen just yet.
There are plenty of other big names crossing the divide. Sylvester Stallone, also today. Cher, Suzanne Somers, Reggie Jackson, and the First Lady later this year. And these days, the generation known for taking on the man is more likely to be the man. Besides the president, boomers make up 41 out of 50 governors, more than half of Congress, and a third of the Supreme Court.
ABC's Claire Shipman in Washington. Another early morning for Discovery. NASA awakened the astronauts before dawn. The shuttle should dock with the International Space Station within the hour. Northwest Airlines is beefing up its meals if you're willing to pay. The carrier will have more choices for first-class flyers. You'll find vegetarian and meat options for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. A setback for gays and lesbians in New York. The state's highest court has ruled that gay marriage is not allowed under New York state law. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, police are still investigating a string of violent crimes in St. Louis Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. Authorities believe two victims of a shooting on Plover early yesterday morning actually shot each other, but no charges have been filed. Police are looking for suspects in other shootings on Oakley Place, on Franklin, and on Blair. The St. Louis Zoo will be open as usual after closing early yesterday. A power outage forced the zoo to close just after noon yesterday. None of the animals were hurt, and the zoo brought in emergency generators to care for them. The Chancellor of the University of Missouri is extending his condolences to the family of Enron founder Ken Lay. Lay received a bachelor's degree in economics from the university in 1964 and a master's degree in 1965. Chancellor Brady Deaton says the university hasn't decided whether it will memorialize Lay.
We don't have any plans in that regard at this time. We are simply at this point shocked and saddened and extending condolences to the family.
Deaton says Lay and his family were very generous to the university over the years. Lay was convicted earlier this year on fraud and conspiracy charges related to the Enron scandal. Lay died of a heart attack yesterday in his vacation home in Colorado. He was 64 years old. Finally this hour, the Cardinals are hoping to bolster their starting rotation by acquiring right-hander Jeff Weaver from the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The Redbirds picked up Weaver and cash considerations in exchange for minor league outfielder Terry Evans. The 29-year-old Weaver was designated for assignment by the Angels last week after compiling a 3-10 record with a 6.29 ERA in 16 games this season. He won a career-high 14 games last year with the Dodgers and has a lifetime ERA of 4.55 in 8-plus big league seasons. Weaver is expected to join the Cardinals in Houston this weekend. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Regions Bank. Want a good money market rate from a real bricks and mortar bank? Come by any Regions Bank and ask about our new relationship money market, offering some of the most competitive rates in the U.S. Regions Bank, member FDIC. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this quick look at traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Jeep dealer. Westbound 70 at Earth City Expressway, there's an accident that's been cleared. There may be some delays. There's a number of construction sites going on in and out of the metropolitan area, St. Louis County and St. Charles County. So just use caution as you roll up to those work zones. The main one that's going on, though, to be aware of is at east and westbound 40 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 40 is reduced to three lanes and it's backed up still to near 4th Street. Eastbound 40, you can look for some delays, but not a whole lot going on this hour. Other than that, that is a look at your traffic for this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Jeep dealer. With Jeep, experience is the best in American and German engineering and design. Get employee pricing plus 0% APR financing for well-qualified buyers on most Jeep vehicles. Go to AskDrZ.com for details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Saturday. For today, sunny, high in the mid-80s. This evening, clear with a low in the lower 60s. For Friday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Currently at studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clear skies and our temperature is right at 73 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 72 and sunny skies as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your News and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I want to talk to some of you out here that are not necessarily technically savvy people. Okay? Some of you out here, I'm trying to give you a reason. I'm trying to give you an understanding. I'm trying to let you understand why you need to get to the net. Why you need a computer. Why you need a computer. All right. Let me help you with this. Your phone. Okay, is that simple enough for you? Your phone. Front page of the paper a couple of days ago from the New York Times. Headline, Internet calling pressures the Bells to lower their prices. What is happening is that people are making phone calls from their computers. And sometimes people are not even being charged for those internet calls, the calls that they're making over their computer, over the internet, phone calls to folks. We have these companies, write this down and talk to those of you that don't have access to a computer, those of you that don't even know what to ask for. when you talk to your children or your nieces or nephews that do have access, write these names down and ask them to explain this to you. Free phone calls. In fact, some people are taking language classes over the phone, long distance. They're not calling. These are long distance phone calls for language classes. Why? Because they don't have to pay anything for long distance calls. Write these names down. Vonage, V-O-N-A-G-E, and Sun Rocket. Sun Rocket Vonage. Write those down. Talk to the people in your life that have access to computers and internet. Because these two companies are putting pressure on, you know, you've heard of AT&T. You've heard of Verizon. And what are those companies? Those are the companies that have built multi-billion dollar empires by selling phone services over copper wires. But the world has changed. There are other online services like Skype, S-K-Y-P-E, offer free calls from computer to computer for users with headsets. Free phone calls. So think about it. You pay one bill. You pay one bill for your computer. You have free phone service. You have free internet, well, internet that you're paying for, and access to a computer. Do you hear what I'm saying? And what's interesting is that how significant are these free internet calls? They're dragging down the prices of AT&T. And not only is it dragging down the prices, but they're also changing the way that people use their phone services. Skype users take language classes over the phone, unconcerned about the lengths of their calls. There are even parents that have gone out, leaving their child with a babysitter, and using their free voice link as a baby monitor to listen in on their child's room. Because it's free. And, you know, usually people think that the basic business model is that, okay, if something like this is free right now, they're going to charge for it later. No, that's really not the way that it's working. It's not really the way that it's working right now. Skype, okay, S-K-Y-P-E. eBay bought Skype last year for $2.6 billion. The company normally charges about a few cents a minute for calls from computers to regular phones. But in May, it eliminated those fees. It eliminated those fees. So you can make a phone call from your computer to a hardline phone through Skype, and they've eliminated the cost of it. The world is changing, and it's changing on your internet. It's not just for word processing. It's not just for checking your email. And check this out. Now, let's be real. Bell still controls the bulk of the 180 million landlines. Okay, there are 180 million landlines. This is what you may not know. For those of you that are tech savvy, when pushed, Bell is even offering their own internet-based calling. They have that. But they are rarely advertised. It's cheaper to cut prices to keep customers than try to win back customers later from a rival. The world is changing. Stay with me. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else are you going to get a washer, a dryer, a refrigerator, a, How about a big screen television? How about a treadmill? You You can do all of that at Sears. And where? Right there at Union and Natural Bridge. It's the only Sears in the city of St. Louis. Gas is so expensive. It is so, you know what? Come on into the city of St. Louis. Get great customer service, get great quality, get great location. Get your shop on, and when you do, tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Liz.
Yes.
What's those three names? Skype?
Yes.
Vonage, and who else?
Sun Rocket.
Sun Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. 1-877-920-WGNU. Check this out. Charles A. White, Walter Andrews, a retired language teacher from Cambridge, Massachusetts, signed up for Sun Rocket last week. And we're talking about the way that people are going to the Internet to make their phone calls. It's free in some cases, and it's really, really cheap in other cases. Walter Andrews, 66 years old, a retired language teacher in Cambridge, Massachusetts, signed up for Sun Rocket early last year. He paid up front for a year of unlimited phone service for guess how much? $16.15 a month. He paid for his year up front. He was done with it. Unlimited phone service, $16.50 a month. He signed up again this year, but when his annual contract expires in 8 months, he plans to consider other options. Sun Rocket itself recently had a promotion offering unlimited service for, are you ready? $8.29 a month. Unlimited phone. Unlimited phone. And this is a man who bought this, the man who had this service. He's making international calls. He lives in Scotland, and his wife lives overseas. Or at least he lives elsewhere, overseas from Scotland. Do you hear me? He's paying $16.50 a month for unlimited phone calls. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
Very good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm glad you're back.
Well, thank you.
I love listening to Irene in your place. You know, she does a great job just like you.
She's wonderful.
But the reason why I'm calling, when you were talking about the voice-over internet protocol,
mm-hmm.
There's a couple things to consider. Number one, to check to see the portability of your phone number,
mm-hmm.
because in some of these companies there's a problem with that. the other point is that sometimes the reliability, it's a good thing in the cost, don't get me wrong. And the one last thing to consider is in some of these companies, the 911 doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And one last thing.
And those are all things that in terms of legislation, because 911 doesn't work on your cell phone either.
You're right.
And a lot of folks are buying cell phones, anyway. So, I mean, those are all considerations, and that's why people need to be pushing for legislation to make that happen.
And one other thing, if memory serves me right, I don't know if you had covered this or not, is with Vonage, I thought Vonage, you know how the government had the deal with the
that was
phone records?
Uh-huh. I think it was AT&T. I'm not sure if it was Vonage.
I thought Vonage was in there, too.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Okay.
So don't quote me to that, but, I thought I'd throw a couple points out that people need to ask questions on.
People need to ask questions on their phone services as well, what they have now, because people need to be trying to get better deals for their phones than what they're getting, and people need to ask questions of everything. You're absolutely right.
Thank you for your time, Liz, and you have a wonderful day.
Very, you too.
Bye-bye.
454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, Liz, how you doing today?
Fine, how are you?
I'm all right. Life is good as usual.
Life is wonderful.
Hey, always. Just a few little struggles along the way. I just wanted to ask a question about links on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was a friend of mine who lost a job because he had some links on his website to some wrestlers he interviewed from off his television show. And this school district that he worked for, one of the teachers there went to his website, and she saw the two links that had a problem with it. He had a meeting with one of the assistant APs. So
what's an AP?
The assistant principal.
Okay.
And they gave him a reprimand. So about 3-4 days later, his department chair wasn't pleased with the outcome, so she took it a step further. And the principal gave my friend a note saying he had to meet with the assistant superintendent and all these other people. And after the meeting, they tried to get him to resign. He refused. So they put him on leave. And then after the big board meeting, the outcome was they fired him. And
this was in the city of St. Louis?
No, Belleville, Illinois.
Okay.
And I can give you some more info and everything.
Well, what was on the website? What did he make a link to?
What it was the link been on the website probably almost a year or two. It was to two wrestlers that he interviewed. April Hunter, who was wrestling with WCW, and she also do a lot of big stuff with NWA TNA. And that was another site called womenofwrestling.net. What happened was on these different sites here, these women wrestlers had some new photos of some other wrestlers and themselves.
They had naked pictures.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And my friend had no idea these links contained such stuff like that, because his webmaster get links from a lot of wrestlers all the time. So his union is fighting hard to get his job back, and his union felt like he have a strong case.
He had a link on his website that the district said that should not have been. Is the website in his name?
He owns the website.
That's not my question. Is the website in his name?
No, the website has another name to it.
Okay, so there's no clear. It's not clear that this person is linked to this. The only reason that the district found out about it is how? How did the district find out that this was his website?
What it is, he's an artist, and what it is, he works around kids with special needs. And some of the kids knew about some of the artwork that he drew, so that was some artwork that he did, and the website was on one of the drawings. And this particular teacher...
Okay, wait a minute. So his website was on a drawing that he
mm-hmm.
gave to a child that worked in the school?
Yeah, this is a high school, Belleville East.
Okay, so he handed them this particular website.
Right, it was written in little bitty letters of what it is. One of the kids asked him for a picture,
uh-huh.
and he gave
I hear you. Whether they were 6 foot high or not, the letters were there.
Mm-hmm.
The website was there.
Right.
And he gave it to a student during the course of school?
I believe so.
Okay. It's going to be an interesting case. It's going to be an interesting case because I know that every link that's to my website, I have made it happen. And the same with anybody else. So you are responsible, I believe, responsible for the links that are on your website. It's going to be an interesting case. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with that.
Okay, so, you know, but when he was reprimanded, took it down, but the department chair, this guy anyway.
Oh, well, yeah, but, you know, if she feels like she has something, then she didn't make this up. You know, so it's going to be interesting. Let me know if the union is successful with this.
I sure will. This is with District 201 in Belleville.
All right.
All right, have a good day.
Thanks for your call. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huss. Join me Thursday nights after the 7 o'clock news right here on Radio 920 as we circle the bases. Join my roundtable guests and myself as we talk about what's happening in the world of sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Yeah, we'll even talk a little NASCAR, and yeah, we'll even talk a little poker. We'll circle the bases. That's what the show is all about. 7:05, Thursday night, right here on Radio 920.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap. Weekday afternoons, immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis. AM 920, WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs. OJ Photo Supply, a standard of quality service since 1970. 8338 Olive. Cameras, digital cameras, photo restorations. What's the best film for my camera? OJ Photo Supply can answer your questions. OJ Photo Supply, 8338 Olive, 991-5550. Don't forget, always check your decks.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and the number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. And if you want to fax me, you can do that at 454-6609. That's 454-6609. Get up. Get to me. I don't know. Do you feel something going on here? You feel something going on. Does it feel like there is a concerted effort out here to push Osama bin Laden off the playing field? Does it feel that way? Well, let me give you some of the reasons why I think it feels that way. Apparently, the Homeland Security, CIA, whoever, has disbanded the special group, the elite special group that whose job was to only pursue Osama bin Laden. It's been disbanded, huh? Huh? It's kind of like the reverse, the twisted reverse of women and children first. Remember the celebration of the killing of Saddam Hussein's grandson? It's the sick, twisted, compassionate Christian version of women and children first. Saddam Hussein's wife and daughter are on the list of Iraq's 41 most wanted people, huh? Why? Where's Osama bin Laden? And understand that this feels like an effort to move away from Osama bin Laden, right? Osama bin Laden had something to do with the blowing up of the building in 9/11, right? That's what this administration has told us. Then how come, why aren't you, Katie, barred the door after this man? Instead, we're getting lists like Osama bin Laden's wife. And feel this. Saddam's relatives have been financing insurgent groups. How? I thought Osama bin Laden was financing insurgent groups. Now Saddam Hussein's wife and his daughter are doing it. It's a reconfiguration that is going on in front of your face. It's a reconfiguration that is going on in front of your face. The reconfiguration of who the enemy is. And it's not being reconfigured simply for the purpose of this is who the enemy is. No, this is something that we can get some wins out of this. We can go find the wife and the daughter of Saddam Hussein. And they will parade the women and children in front of us as if their capture has diddly to do with, and that's a technical legal term, diddly. Have diddly to do with the day after day after day deaths in Iraq. Not to mention the number of American deaths in Iraq. As of a Friday, 2,523 service members, 7 Defense Department civilians have died. Bunch of babies died recently. A 19-year-old Ryan Clark, a 25-year-old Jeremy Jones, another 25-year-old Brian Lutke, a 21-year-old Rex Page, a 21-year-old Michael Potowski, Christopher Rose, another 21-year-old, died. Understand this, believe this, that when we're being told that the target is now on the face of the women and children out there in this war, you're being played. You are being played. They both live in Jordan. Okay, go get them. And if they go get them, it's because they're trying to distract us from the reality that this government is not going after the real bad people. The ones that they've said, that they've defined as the real bad people. And you need to be asking the question of why aren't they? Why aren't they? 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And don't forget, you can fax me at 454-6609, 454-6609, and email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Carpo.
Good morning, my beautiful sister. TC, how you doing?
TC, good morning.
Right. I hope you had a wonderful time off.
I had a I had a tremendous time.
All right. Well, I miss you, but I know you need to get away.
I sure do.
With all the stuff you going through. The young lady, not the young lady, but what you just mentioned about the 2,500 Americans that's dead for nothing and the young people that are dead for nothing. And I don't have a lot of tact, so maybe you can put it in a better way than I can, but I've only seen two people on the news that told the truth when their son or daughter came home in a body bag. That's the young lady that was camped out, Sheehan, I think that's her name.
Cindy
and the black
Sheehan.
Father who lost the Marine in that helicopter crash.
No, I think that there are a number of other people there. The young man who was beheaded, Berg, his father.
Okay.
His father said, when they captured Al-Zarqawi, he said, I'm not mad at Al-Zarqawi. I'm mad at George W. Bush.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is maybe it's not enough of that outcry going on, because I see a lot of these, and, you know, people grieve the way they want, so I'm not pointing blame at them. But when I hear somebody who lost their son or daughter, then talking about the reason the person dead was for the freedom of this country, it just seems to me that they buying into the spin once again. Whatever this administration is trying to accomplish,
I think, well, let's,
Saddam Hussein didn't have anything to do with 9/11.
Of course not. But if we're going to talk about what patriotism is and what people believe patriotism is, I think that there is plenty of room for discussion about a belief system that some people have and a belief system that, quite frankly, has borne out a reality for them. There are people who believe very strongly that you do not question what your government is doing. Okay, I am not of that school of thought, and I know that there are other people out there as well. Those people also want to believe in the death of their son, they want to believe that it had meaning somehow, because to think otherwise for some people may drive them crazy, because they are thinking in their heads that there is something that I could have done to stop my son or daughter from doing this.
Right.
So
right.
I am going to believe that they did this for a good cause. They did it for their country. And they did it for their country irrespective of whether or not we were lied to or not, because if your country asked you to go to war, my country, right or wrong, I'm
right.
going to war,
and
my country, right or wrong, and particularly people who have loved ones who died, those are some of the people that are really going to grab on to my country, right or wrong. And I know what my son said. My son said, I believe this. I believe that we are fighting for America. I don't think that anybody should question the feelings of Cindy Sheehan. I don't think that anybody should question the feeling of anybody that believes the opposite of Cindy Sheehan, who was lost a loved one in the war. I think that those are the people that, you know what, you believe that. I accept that you believe that. It's the people that haven't lost anything in the war that I think have more room to really explore and more reason to really explore why we're in this war and why this war is wrong.
Okay, and that gets to that cut and run foolishness I'm hearing. The president cut and ran during Vietnam. The vice president cut and ran during Vietnam. Most of the Congress people cut and ran during Vietnam. and since then. So it's just amazing how they can use this spin.
I don't think it's, TC, and I'm going to have to let you go, but I don't think that it is fair to say, to go all the way back to when George W. Bush was 25 years old and kicking it, you know, doing the drugs, doing the alcohol. I don't think it's fair to go back when Dick Cheney couldn't find a school to graduate from and he was trying to find the only thing that consumed Dick Cheney was how not to go to the war. I don't think it's fair because I don't want to be obsessed by something that I did in my 20s for the rest of my life. So let's just come to the year 2006. And if we're going to look for whether or not we can see examples of whether or not there's cut and run strategy, any time when George W. Bush went to Baghdad, he left the motor of the helicopter running. He left the lights on in the helicopter. He ran in there and said, "How are you doing? Good job. See you later. Got to go." And he got back on the plane.
And that was cutting and running.
That is true cutting and running.
And if this secretary does the same thing every time he goes over there with his armored vehicle.
Fact. More armor than the boys have.
As always, I love you, young lady. You take care of yourself.
Take care of yourself. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, wake up call. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Each Friday, my co-host Liz Tanz and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects. So come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
The West Wing isn't in Washington, D.C. It's on the Internet. Join Herbstack online at WGNU.net.
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night, for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour. Let's get busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Beijing. China has announced the opening of a rail line that runs from Qingshai Province to the capital of Tibet. This line runs through the Himalayan mountains and is the highest rail line in the world, running several thousand miles above sea level. The idea for the project was developed back in the 1950s under Chairman Mao Zedong, but construction never got past the foothills of the Himalayas because the grades were so steep. Work began through the mountains about 5 years ago. Because of the high altitudes, some special airtight rail cars are making the run to accommodate passengers who cannot tolerate the lack of oxygen. Chinese officials say they expect tens of thousands of tourists to ride on this line, which will likely make Tibet a haven for outsiders. This may also lead to greater Chinese influence in the affairs of Tibet, which is something China has long wanted to overcome the influence of the spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama. And Dateline Pittsburgh. A private equity group is attempting to take over food product giant Heinz Corporation. The group is called Trian and is controlled by a billionaire named Nelson Peltz. They've managed to acquire about 6% of the Heinz stock and have become the second largest shareholder. They're also on the verge of ousting a majority of the board of Heinz Corporation and replacing them with their own people. The agenda is to get rid of some of the less profitable Heinz operations and do away with several thousand jobs. Trian has already managed to get Heinz to commit to shutting down 15 plants and eliminate over 8% of its workforce by next year. Trian is also seeking to end or dramatically reduce allowances that are paid by the company to distributors and retailers in order to gain prime display space in stores. Now, this could very well cause Heinz products to decline in market share, but it would save money in the short term. Elections to the board of directors are set for next month, and the outcome will likely decide the future of the Heinz Corporation. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Philip Person Roofing is a licensed and certified roofing contractor offering a 15-year warranty on a new modified rubber roof made by GAF, the largest roofing manufacturer in America. Whether commercial or residential, you can finance any new roof with your Visa or MasterCard. For a free estimate, call Philip Person Roofing at 361-7127, 361-7127. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Made me want to holler. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. Want to know how bad it is? Army. Navy. Air Force. Are facing shortages of the elite special operation forces. What does that mean? The shortfall of Army Special Operations, Navy SEALs, and Air Force combat controllers. And this is despite of efforts to expand. And this is despite the need of expansion. This really kind of shows, it goes to a disconnect of Boy George and the world as it really exists. What did he say? 6,000 National Guard members, right? Going to be patrolling the border, right? That's his solution to that's his fix of the undocumented workers issue. Okay. So how many have you gotten? Most states, only 5 states have responded with National Guard members. The other states are saying, you know what? In a word, no. We have floods. We have hurricanes. We have fires. We have earth, wind, and fire. And no, you're not getting any of our National Guard members. No, in a word, no. So we have the disconnect with reality that George Bush has. I'm going to have 6,000 National Guard members. No, you're not. And now they want to expand the forces, the special forces, by 15%. And they're facing shortages in these elite forces already. The Navy has 2,352 SEALs. It's authorized for 2,684. The Army has said, yeah, we have a shortage, but we're not going to tell you what the number is. The government accounting office, that's the GAO, reported in 2005 that the Army had filled only 2,922 of the 3,834 spaces for sergeants in the 4 special forces categories, intelligence, communications, engineering, and medical. And 2005 is when the military began offering bonuses for up to $150,000 to 19-year veterans with special operations experience if they would sign up for 6 more years. Understand. I just want you to feel this. The military is saying, if you have 19 years in and you have special ops experience, we're going to give you a $150,000 signing bonus if you stay on for 6 more years. $150,000 bonus. The Army gave the bonus to 118 soldiers last year, 99 this year. Okay, that's a little less than $30,000 a year on top of the salary that you're earning. On top of the salary that you're earning. They can't find any takers. They can't find takers. I mean, that's great money. I think a $30,000 a year bump on top of whatever it is that you're earning for, and they've got to be earning. They've got to be earning. At least $40,000-$50,000 a year. The people that are signing up now are only getting $20,000 signing bonus. $20,000 a year, or just $20,000? Yeah, they're just getting a $20,000 signing bonus. This is $150,000. Dollar bonus. Other people are only getting $20,000 for 5 years. And that ain't no money. That is not any money at all. And they still can't fill their spots. They still can't fill their spots. You're on the wake-up call.
Leah?
Yes?
Well, I was listening to you the previous hour, and the guy was commenting about interviewing the youngsters on the street. The gang, you know, and how they felt about the police. And I'm 60 plus years old, and what flashed in my mind was deja vu. That's exactly what was taking place. I can remember as a youngster in the city of St. Louis, standing on the corner, or the police jumping out, or if there's more than two of you, you were committing a crime. Every day, not every other day, every evening, walking home from work, I got stopped.
Mm.
And it was like he was saying, different responses. Some of them laughed at him. Some of them said they just got used to it. I did them both. Laughed at him, got used to it. It was almost like me and my friends, if we made it home, we would walk each other home at night. If we made it home from Grand to Pruitt-Igoe, we would celebrate. We would say, made it, and if nobody stopped us. So it's like, for the young people, it's like the same thing all over again. You know, that there was a pause, and now it's right back to where it was before.
When was the pause?
I think when all the noise was happening in the 60s, you know, there was a change in the 60s. I can feel that change. I was in that generation that got the first set of jobs when they started putting up the window dressing.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
And the hardest thing is as a parent, you want to tell your child, you want your child to feel that life is better, but you also have to give them the information of things that you know that's going to happen as they grow into adulthood. And they say, no, Dad, no, Grandpa, it ain't like that no more. I say, just listen to me. Put it in the back of your head, and if Grandpa is wrong, I'm glad I'm wrong. But if Grandpa is right, you got something to deal with.
Your kids are saying that it's not like that anymore?
Oh, you know, in certain, when they're going through college and stuff like that, you know, and some of them went to the county schools, you know, when, but.
How old are they now?
In their 40s.
And they still feel the same way?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Okay.
The revelation
yeah.
is already
yeah.
about.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
They got their reality
oh,
check.
Oh, yeah.
All
well,
right.
We didn't have those. You told me, Dad.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, William.
All right.
All right.
Right.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's the number. But we're checking out for today. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
All of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.